sending this one out to my man Killer B. No doubt, indeed, with that weed, you know what I'm saying? That old real shit. There's a war going on outside, no man is safe from. You could run, but you can't hide forever from these streets that we done took. You walking with your head down, scared to look. You shook, cause ain't no such things as halfway crooks. They never around when the beef cooks. In my part of town, it's similar to Vietnam. Now we all grown up and old and beyond the cops' control. They better have the riot gear ready, trying to back me and get rock steady. By the Mac 1 double, I touch you and leave you with not much to go home with. My skin is thick, cause I'll be up in the mix of action. If I'm not at home, puffin' live, relaxing. New York got a nigga depressed, so I wear a slug proof underneath my
guest. Welcome back.
God bless my soul.
Randolph Terrence.
I put down and begin to stroll into the
I'm Andy Klein.
And I'm Haywood Turnip Seed Jr. Salt pepper.
No, we are three guys on.
Big up. Tim Miller lives.
Haywood, he hates him.
Okay, let's stop it. Only the strong survive.
Haywood is back in the house.
Big up. Thanks for having me.
We, everything that's going on in Baltimore, I figure we need some extra blackness. We got to put our blackness on fleek. We're going to be fleeking with this blackness. Out here fleeking.
Fleeking in this flack.
Fleek came and went already.
Of course it did.
Right. It's one of those words. It's just, it sounds crazy.
Of course it did. It's like turn up. Like turn up is going on too.
That's me. I turn up. You know, for a while, I was working with these kids. Yeah. And they were always saying, turn up, turn up. And I always thought they were talking about me. And I was like, turn up seed. Yeah. They was like, no, Mr. Turnip Seed, turn up. I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. I'm old, thank
that's
you.
That's how old I am. Thank yeah, you. Thank fuck you. Your couch, nigga.
I'm old.
That's how I know I'm old. I see friends' couches in my Instagram timeline.
There you go.
Look at this new couch I bought.
Yeah, yay.
You know, sometimes a name can become slang.
Yes.
Like Swayze.
Swayze. Well, that's going to be forever.
Yeah. Like, but the, yeah, it's rare. Like, if they say turnip, they're no. It's rare that a name becomes slang.
Yeah, I was hoping it would be like Swayze. I'm out like Swayze, but he became a ghost.
Yeah, ghost-like.
Quite
yeah.
literally ghost-like. And figuratively.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting old, I participated in a yard sale today.
That Farrington.
Community yard sale. How old do you got to be to do
that's
that
old,
shit?
That's old. That's old. I'm not doing that yet. I took the kids to a festival today.
Community yard sale.
What'd you sell?
What'd you sell, yeah?
Clothes. Just shit we had in the attic. Made 800, over 800 bucks.
That bass guitar?
I already took my old bass. I took to the pawn shop and I sold it at the pawn shop.
Ah, okay.
My Fender.
Yeah, the pawn shop down the street by that Chili's or whatever?
Yes, right there. I just sold it there.
What'd they give you for it?
45.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Not bad. And the guy was like, I can give you 45. And I was like, just give me the money, man. I'm not
going to
haggle.
It's not Pawn Stars.
Just give me the money.
It's that Pawn Stars shit like you negotiate.
Because I got that Ibanez. So
I got this
Ibanez. I'm like, I'm not even playing this bass anymore. And I've had it for so long in these new strings.
Does the one you have, is it acoustic electric?
Acoustic electric, yeah.
Oh, plugs in.
Okay. So... I was like, I don't know.
They make nice guitars. I got an Ibanez.
I kept the stance. Like when I buy another, I'll probably buy another Ibanez. Another Ibanez all electric.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the next one I buy.
Right.
If I can get a decent deal on it, you usually can at Guitar Center.
Yeah.
They'll wait for the holidays. They do all kinds of shit.
I really want a jazz fretless. I'm really thinking about that. I don't even. Mm. And here's the thing. I'm saying this like I play well enough.
I was about to ask you. Do you ever play a slap bass?
Yeah. Like I play well enough to afford this. I don't.
I thought of you. I was watching this mean Larry Graham interview. You know Nick West, right? The bassist, the chick, like Prince influenced.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she put up a Larry Graham post. He was talking about how he came up with the slap pick style. Oh, man, that was, he needs to narrate everything. He was doing that while he was talking. It was just amazing. The whole thing, I was like, I would listen to everything if it had Larry Graham bass behind it and his voice.
I saw a thing with Marcus Miller talking about all the bass players I guess they all kind of came up in the Oakland area.
Oh,
Everybody was trying to figure out how to play it.
Yeah.
I said, what do I got to do to play that? Every bass playing area was trying to figure that slap bass, that slap line out.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, man. That's heavy.
Thank you for letting me
exactly what
be myself.
a lot of frustrated people in their bedrooms, like, what the fuck, man?
It's so funky.
It's hard, so,
but you can look at him and see he's doing it. You know, I can't do that shit.
Man, he is funky with it, yo.
That shit is so funky.
Invented some shit.
Yeah, so we sold all the stuff. I'll tell you why she was able to, because I left. I went to work and trained some people for a while. My mother-in-law's here, so she was able to stay there and help her. Our neighborhood has been gentrified, right? So right next door to our neighborhood, as you go down the hill towards Shirlington,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? That big hill go down?
Yeah.
That's all Hispanic lower income.
That's always
people.
Been, because that's the really? That's the slightly cheaper housing in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
cheaper,
yeah.
So it's literally right across the street.
Yeah.
Not like a 4-lane highway, like a one car street.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah.
So they're right across. So all their kids go to school with the kids in the neighborhood that we live in.
Okay.
And stuff like
that. Oh, how mad are those parents?
But the parents treat those parents like their dog shit.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Treat them like their dog shit. They wonder if they can speak English.
Out loud, huh?
Yeah. Treat like their dog shit. Okay. My wife grew up in Brownsville.
Does that mean they pick them up and throw them in the trash?
Yeah, if they could.
In a plastic bag.
If they could.
Get your dog stuff. Yeah, right. That's my kid. Get it off.
If they
off
could,
mine.
Can you please keep this away? Well, my wife grew up in Brownsville, and I grew up in San Antonio. So these are people that we literally grew up with. So when they came over and they're kind of looking, my wife speaks Spanish. She started talking to them in Spanish, and my wife can code switch from white into Latino. They know. This one girl came by early. We were unloading the car. As we were unloading the car, she was already looking at the stuff. So my wife went over and started talking to her. That girl brought like 40 people.
Right.
She brought like 40 people. She, over the course of all these little Latin people kept coming, these little Latin girls kept coming back. I don't want to call them Mexican because they may not be.
Right.
Maybe Honduran or
Salvadoran.
So she runs home and goes, hey guys, there's someone
that's literally exactly what happened.
She doesn't think we're a piece of shit.
Right,
guys.
Right. She's selling us her stuff, speaking to us in our language.
So we made over $800 right. in clothing sales. Clothes, shoes. Yeah.
Was like shit that your daughter doesn't wear anymore. Like,
no, these are Amy's clothes.
So they really bought some stuff. They came up. Yeah,
she didn't even go up that high. She went as high as like $10.
Oh, shit. Yeah, she did a fake. Oh, you got friends now.
Yeah, a lot of the shit she doesn't fit into anymore. She sold a bunch of shoes.
You know what it's going to be?
Yeah, you got
it's going to be like that. You know that scene in Coming to America where they see everyone running down the street in their clothes?
Yeah.
Because their luggage got stolen.
Oh, let them have it.
It's okay,
because and this lovely lady who lives by, she was like, oh, we haven't really sold no stuff. I was like, we sold like $800 worth of shit over there.
Right.
Really?
Maybe you talk to them.
Yeah.
What else were people selling? I mean, not just clothes. What else
everything,
were they selling?
Like, anything, just household everything. Goods? I saw a dude trying to sell his kids' fencing equipment. That one caught my eye.
That's not going to work.
And I was walking by. I was like, who's buying fencing
swords.
Equipment and kendo training swords?
Nah.
Ain't nobody buying this shit.
Young James Bonds everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? What's always interesting, every month on my side of the neighborhood, because Randolph and I live in the same neighborhood, big trash day when you can throw out like couches. Yeah.
Which is weird because that's every Thursday for us.
We do it once a month on the first Saturday of the month, which means the Friday night before that, people start putting shit out.
Yeah.
And the scavengers come out. You see people driving really slow through the neighborhood. And by the way, it's white, black, Hispanic. It's all kinds of people.
Yeah.
It's older, younger men, women. It's
thrift store folk.
Because I go out and walk the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see, I'm like, why is everyone driving so slow? Oh, because they're all checking out, like the shit. I've put stuff out. Like I had like an old printer and an old computer monitor that no one I knew wanted it. So I went out. I put the monitor out. This was like a few months ago. I put the monitor out and then went back in to get the printer. When I came back out with the printer, the monitor was gone. It was just gone. Like there were no cars around. Like, I don't even know how. They must have like a tripwire.
This
like,
monitor is on fleek.
Fleeking out here with this monitor.
And then I go out, and then I like go to the draft house. And I come back from the draft house, and the printer's gone. Like, you know,
I might have
caught
that printer. You never know when you're going to get a printer, man.
I've
done that. Like, look at somebody put out a nice fucking printer, yo.
Well, there were two printers out that night, and the other one was nicer.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a guy walk up. When I put it out, he walked up, just appeared from parts unknown, like the corn in Field of Dreams.
Right.
He just comes walking out.
You put it out, they will come.
And he looked at both printers, and he didn't take mine.
He was comparison shopping.
Yeah. He probably was Googling the model number.
Pull out his phone, Google.
Right. Which one is
good? So he didn't take mine. He took the other one. But then when I came back later that night, mine was gone.
Was it a color printer?
Yeah, it was an old color printer. It was just old.
Okay. Andy Klein, you asking if Andy Klein had a color printer? Yeah, you really asking?
It better be. really And so I'll see people all the time, like just they'll pull up at these because you know every corner there's a pile of shit. Sometimes it's mattresses and shit. Sometimes
what's the address
just,
to this?
It's Farrellington.
Farrellington. Oh,
first,
shit.
First,
you never know, man.
The thing
you
is, we got to get it early.
On our side, though, on our side of Farrellington, because 395 divides.
It's north and south Farrellington.
North and south.
Oh, okay.
It's really
okay.
More
so you get off on your exit. That's is that south? Your exit is south?
Yeah, that's on my side. But if you
I'm
go
on the other way.
Yeah.
I'm south side.
He's okay. On the other side.
Right. And that's that King Street exit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I know.
You
what
can run on. You can run across because there's a connecting thing across 395.
I walked the dog across
that connects
time.
The interview. Connects the two sides. So on my side, they do. We call it big trash. They do big trash every Thursday.
Yeah, and you can put out like furniture. Like if someone just moved in,
they come through.
They wait for big trash. They put all their shit out.
Yeah, they come. They come through, but they you know
like the hallways and stuff.
With us, because there's so much stuff going because it's every Thursday. It ain't a lot of stuff. You see like a rug.
But Virginia is a Commonwealth, so
yeah. It's the wealth is coming.
Right. Yeah.
But
let me get some
they'll
of that.
Have,
let me get some of that.
I mean, because people will come out at like 10 o'clock to, and
in
I'm
the
like,
morning?
I'm like, no, at night, on Friday
and,
night. And I'm like, you guys
and
are
all,
you're already late. 6:30. Because I'll put shit out late. I don't put trash out until late. So I'll put shit out at like, you know, midnight sometimes.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I'm like, oh, fuck, I screwed someone because they probably already drove past this corner and they could have had a nice monitor or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you put the shit out, even at 6 o'clock, people are driving around. Some people just in an SUV or a minivan. Some people I've seen.
You probably are a lot of pawn places are probably going by.
Yeah,
and
people who do that kind
places.
Of shit. People, you got hoarders.
Yeah.
You got people who want to donate it. You got people who fix shit up and resell.
Once you don't, you get the tax write-off too. I would shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people who've worked who have a family member who's a garbage man who just takes shit home and fixes it.
Yeah. Oh,
and sells it.
Rock.
Yeah, and speaking of Baltimore, I've seen cars driving through the neighborhood with like a flatbed small trailer to just fill with shit.
Damn.
So, and then last night I'm walking a dog and I see these two young white girls. One of them was a teenager, the other one was probably like early 20s. I bet it was like two sisters.
Mm-hmm. College hopping.
They were pushing this giant gas grill down the sidewalk. It was on wheels. And it was like, you know, because grills don't have good wheels. It's all just clanging around and shit.
It's tough, yeah.
And I thought they must be throwing this grill away.
Yeah.
But then they got to the spot where people leave trash, and they kept going. I was like, oh, they must have picked this up at a different point.
Oh, yeah. They're going to party.
Oh, shit. We're gonna grill some shit.
Yeah, we got a grill.
Yeah. It was a giant it was probably like a $600 grill, new.
Oh, shit. And
more.
Today is the cookout.
And they start pushing. And like the older sister was making the younger one push.
Of course.
You know, doing that shit.
You want to come over.
It was bigger than it was
for
bigger
you
than
and
the
your
girl.
Friends.
It was bigger than the girl. Like you couldn't see her behind the grill. And I was like, oh, they just jacked that grill from someone's corner.
Memorial Day week. It's May Day.
Yeah, it's coming.
Single de Mayo. Yeah. It's about to be
We got to cook.
It's free shit first weekend of the month.
Hell yeah.
We pulled up in this parking lot. It's this parking lot. Kind of off where the community center is. So you get in a parking lot and they give you your space. Your space is just a parking space, right? So you set up inside the lines and somebody else sits up in the other line. Somebody else sits in the other. But you got to be inside the line.
Where was it set up? Is it
you know where that tennis court is? The two tennis courts by the school?
Are the ones that have lights?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The tennis courts by the school. And then the community center is right there. That's like the office too where you go in and pay your shit and all that.
Yeah.
In that parking lot right there. So in that parking lot, there's these two lines. Okay. We're setting up the clothing because we have clothing on racks, on wheeling racks.
Yeah.
So I put some over here, and I put some over here, and I put some over here. So people can kind of walk in like a, you know, like you're kind of shopping.
Yeah.
Set it up like a store.
Look, so girl, lady, they got this shit all set up.
This lady in the next one next to us goes, can you move that over because it's really getting close to mine? I'm like...
But you're inside the
lines. Like, bitch, we inside our lines. you better. My mother-in-law was like, don't say nothing.
She's fucking up my money.
Trying to make it nice.
Better
little
go
U-shape.
On with herself. I'm carrying this shit out of a U-Haul, carrying it across the street and setting it up. And here you come,
right.
Bitch.
It's Saturday morning. I should be training somebody.
I'm already fighting off a gang of Latino ladies.
Waiting for me to set this shit.
Won't let me set this shit down.
Bitch. You just mad because your shit is in buckets.
Go on somewhere.
And you look at her shit, you're like, no one's going to buy that anymore.
No one was. It was all baby clothes.
Oh, right. she mad. They come up here and bring
it was
nice
all
shit.
Baby clothes. Yeah, baby clothes.
They trying to
you
get,
see people selling
they after baby
shit.
Clothes, they trying
like,
to buy.
There was an older black couple next to us. They were selling like... He had like a kid's baseball glove, like a baseball bat. I went over there to fuck with it a little bit and put shit right back. I'm like, I don't need a 32 Easton. I tried the glove on. I said, maybe I'll buy this glove. Nope. My hand wouldn't fit into it. I ain't buying the glove. Yeah. They had a lot of books. I bought a book for a dollar.
Yeah.
Not even a dollar. I bought a paperback book for 50 cents.
Yeah. You know?
I'm like, who? No one buys books, bitch.
Nobody buys books.
I bought two harmonicas. That's a weird.
Okay,
a
Steve.
Weird
two.
You bought two.
Yeah, they were dollar piece. They were dollar
that's,
piece.
And you know what? That person probably bought them at the last one.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're only $1.50.
They're two.
Yeah, Princess already wants to play with them. I'm cool. Like, all right, let me clean it first.
Yeah.
Soak it for a while.
I blew on a little bit. I said, all right, let me clean it a
but
little bit.
Good harmonica there, little Walter, is always.
Let me soak this for
good
6 days.
Harmonica is always good.
Yeah.
Fucking Stevie Wonder's killing on that Mark Ronson CD.
I said, let me clean it a little bit and you can play with it. She gives that. Can I have a harmonica? No, let me.
That girl.
My wife gave her $10 and was like, just go buy some stuff. I was like, we selling shit. You want to go let her buy more dumb shit.
That we're going to be selling next year.
Yeah. Somebody was trying. I was trying to get her to buy this little keyboard. Somebody was selling a little keyboard, a little Casio keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
$5.
Yeah, that's nice.
With the voice. The thing where you're talking to the mic and it does the voice.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun.
And it does the has a little drum kit.
Yeah.
They wanted $5 for it. I said, hey, you don't want to buy that? You want to buy that? No, I want this jewelry box.
She doesn't know the full potential of
I know.
Yeah, that's
that.
How Swizz Beatz made all his first
I'm like, all right.
His first million.
Yeah, okay.
All the Rough Riders were made on the Casio.
Daddy's trying to get you... talented, so I can.
We can quit
well, you know
move
what?
Away from these lower income
once,
people.
Once she realizes the noise making potential of the harmonica, she'll want to move up to a keyboard.
Yeah,
because once you realize, I can make all kinds of noises that annoy the shit out of people.
That's what happens.
Cool.
My kids have a keyboard. I hate that shit.
Well, you can use headphones though with a keyboard, right?
They don't. They so young, man. So they just sit there and it's the little bitty one. So it's the Fisher Price. It's just ding, 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 ding.
Same note over and over.
And then
over.
I taught them how to play like I get taught them NBC tune. Ding, ding, ding.
Right.
Yeah. So then they remix that shit.
This is the remix.
Like, oh my goodness.
This is the turn up remix.
No wonder kids. That's why kids get forced to go to those musical schools. Get out of here. Go to that musical. Go to band camp.
Study some shit, kid.
Man, shit.
I need to publicly thank Ralph for having me on CCTV just last night. Many of you, if you're friends of mine on Facebook, have seen my my gigantic head sitting in the studio talking about the fight that's happening tonight. We're recording on Saturday, so the fight is tonight.
Yeah.
Are we going to return the favor and have Ralph?
Oh, do we just lose everything?
No, we didn't lose everything.
Check. Yeah, it's on.
Yeah, I'm here.
Did we lose anything?
No, we didn't lose anything, but the power just cut out on the mixer.
Are we recording again?
Yeah, we're recording again.
Well, you know, behind the curtain, people.
I think you tapped that. And
I must have barely.
This thing is old. It's kind of fragile. Our mixer is old.
Stay away.
We got it at a swap meet.
Swap meet.
We got it. 48 cents. I talked him down. It was 50. I was like, I'll give you 48.
He said, just give me two harmonicas.
Yeah. I got a harmonica I can trade for that. Yeah, Ralph wants to come do the podcast.
So. Well, he did it once, but it was a long time ago. And we haven't had him back.
Dude, I got some stuff to talk about.
Like, I had him. I saw him at the show last week. I did that show with that Martin Amini put together for James Davis's DVD taping.
Oh,
Ralph,
you know who else was on the
Ralph
show?
Ralph did a set on
and
that.
Put 82 people on the show.
Haywood was on the show.
Oh, the Amini show.
Yeah.
The 83rd person on the show.
No, he split it up.
Yeah, he thinned it out.
Some people only did the second show. Some people did. A couple of us did both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ralph did the first show.
Yeah. He was good on it. He did good too.
He had
first
a great
show.
Set.
Yeah. But I ran into Mimosa last night. Mini Mimosa. Yeah, friend of the show, Bare Naked Podcast. They bigged up. They
Bare
were like,
naked
yo.
Comedy. Yeah.
They were like, thank you for talking about us on the show. We heard it.
Also, did you see that we got a shout out on a website?
Yeah, that's they do.
Who are they?
They compile podcast. They do like, I think based on the 15 seconds of research I did, they
there you go. That's
they do like
15 more than I did.
They do like a clip show of podcasts. So I guess, you know.
Split Cider.
Split Cider?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Isn't that a comedy blog too?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
That's a different.
I was looking at it. I was looking at today. I was fleeking it.
Fleek.
Misuse of the slang. Let's just misuse all slang. Succotash. Is that what you're talking about? Succotash show?
It's called Split Cider Podcast, This Week in Comedy Podcast. They did the biggies. Zach Woods and Mark Maron chat on WTF.
No, I'm looking at something
else. They did
else.
A compile of that. They did Gilbert Gottfried's with Lewis Black.
I'm looking at something else.
They did Take This Chainsaw.
So they gave us a mention? Or?
Well, down at the bottom, they said this. So these are all the podcasts that they wrote about. Cause they were like, who charted? And then at the bottom, they said other podcasts we're listening to. The KO with Kurt Brondler.
Okay.
Emotional Hangs with Joe DeRosa, the Stephen Brody Stevens Festival of Friendship.
Okay.
Three Guys On, Live and Learn.
Oh, that was the Monday episode last week.
The Christopher Titus Podcast, DEA Freeze, and Get Us Some Hookers. Tangentially Speaking with Dr. Christopher Ryan. He had Nikki Glaser on. Terrified with Dave Ross. He had Wendy Starling on. Truth and Liza, Jonathan Kite.
Yeah, it's but their Twitter handle is Succotash Show. Their show is called Succotash.
Yeah, I see it right here. Yeah. It's host of Succotash.
So thanks for the shout out, guys.
Thank you so much if you're listening.
Maybe girls too. I don't know. We should do more than 15 seconds of research.
Thank you guys.
I got the mention. I was like, oh, that's cool. Oh, I got to do something.
Yeah, Three Guys On, Live and Learn. So they, you know, somebody listened to us and thought enough of us to write about us. So thank you. Well, you have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
But thank you so much.
Yeah, who the fuck is this?
We'll bring you on our. We'll put you on our cup for podcast if you want to do a phone.
Tagging
with
me
us.
At 5:46.
In the morning.
No problem with that. Also, I decided that I was going back and forth online with a gentleman named, I believe it is...
Michael Felder?
No. I want to say the name right.
Because I missed that conversation. I got in late.
Which
on
conversation?
That. About the girls who didn't like the clothes we talked about on Thursday.
We'll talk about that in a second. No, this was with a cat named...
Because we got no emails this week.
Gershom Wynn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fan of the podcast.
Yeah, he posts on Facebook a lot.
He posted a thing about his workout. He didn't know that my Clark Kent is. I'm a personal trainer. For everybody who knows, that's my Clark Kent.
Personal trainer. Seller of clothing on the weekends.
Yeah.
Many jobs.
That's my Clark Kent, my personal
unplugger
trainer.
Unplugger of
mixers. Raising a daughter.
So I put this out.
Daughter raising.
So I put this out to him, and I put it out to anybody else listening. If you are currently doing a workout, and I say currently because I don't like to do stuff for people when I don't know anything about them. I've never seen them. So I will not write you a workout from the very beginning. I will never do that for anybody unless I can watch you work out a little bit and see what you got. I can't just blindly tell you, hey, do this, and then you fuck around and have a heart attack listening to the shit I told you.
Right. Consult a doctor.
You die.
True,
although I would like if you would die with my paper in your hand and said Three Guys On it, because then that would get some attention back to us. We'll take it on the back of your death. I don't care. But if you have a workout that you're doing right now.
A podcast loses a listener this week in a tragic workout.
Yeah, exactly. But if you feel like your workout is not taking you someplace, something like that, email me through our email.
Yeah, I'll forward it to you.
Email me through our email. I will take a look at it for you. I'll update it, or maybe I'll tell you you're doing the shit right, and I'll send it back to you. In exchange, all I ask is that you buy a copy of Blue Magic. If you already have a copy of Blue Magic, give it to a friend or something like that. That's all I ask.
And does this include meal plan as well?
No, I do not do meal plan. Again,
you don't need a dietitian thing?
I know how.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't really care to because people don't listen. So
true that.
You got to be a grown-up about the shit.
True that.
That's all that is. True. But I know how to. I will tell you occasional meals. If you need help with meal stuff, I can kind of so
you're
put you in
you're right licensed, right? You're a licensed trainer.
My thing's in sports nutritionist.
Sports nutrition, that's it. Nutrition.
That's a different certification that I don't particularly care to get.
Now, but do you have to do long. Physical therapy as well?
No. Okay. Oh, God, that's a... In order to be a physical therapist, you have to have a master's degree now.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A master's degree?
Yeah.
Just to push someone's leg a little bit?
Yeah, you have to have a master's degree now.
So you have to understand physiology.
And pull their other leg?
You didn't used to have to.
I didn't think so. I thought it was just, PA. Damn.
One of my wife's friends is a physical therapist. She was telling me that. I was like, what?
I bet some people started having heart attacks.
Yeah.
They're like, we need to get some more schooling here.
That's why, because, you know, I asked, because my wife's a massage therapist, so she does a lot in that field, but if she stopped at massage therapy, she was like, makes sense now.
If you want a massage, is she like, I don't want to bring my homework with me?
I'm like, test dummy. This is why I'm like, nah, oh, so you're trying a new technique. I don't even want, nah, nigga.
Let me dig. Can I dig my elbow into your back?
Yeah, she'd be like, yo, because she was doing that. She studied Thai massage, so like Thai yoga massage.
Yeah.
So she was trying, you know, working, formalizing her technique. And she's like, oh, you want another massage? And I'm like, nah, man, that last one, I think I still got some kidney issues.
It hurt.
Because she's touching pressure points and shit. And she got deep. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Right.
I'm good.
That shit hurts.
Yeah. But I'm not a crash test dummy, so now the kids are.
And to be a personal trainer, you have to get a national certification. I have two of those now, which I had to because one place bought another place. So I had to get another national certification. And then you have to, they give you 2 years and you have to do continuing education in it.
Oh, really?
You got to go get your other certifications, and then you got to turn on. So I'm at the point now where I have to send everything in, and then they send me back another certification.
That's good for a year or what?
2 years.
2 years.
But I got to send it in by the 31st of this month.
And you're going to give this knowledge away for a copy of Blue Magic.
For a copy of Blue Magic.
People, let me tell you something. I'm looking at him in the A shirt right now.
and here's what you have to do.
A copy of Blue Magic.
You have to set up like a Blue Magic trivia quiz. So they can prove they listen.
At least I know you're listening.
Like, all right, I'll give you a workout, but then just ask some questions.
Track three.
Not even about a track. They'll download individual tracks. Yeah. Just say something about that you'd only know if you listened to the whole CD. Yeah. Maybe like five questions, and they have to answer 4 out of 5correct.
At what point did you hear Haywood's laugh?
Did I speak to anybody in the audience? And if I did, what did I talk to them about?
Yeah, exactly. So you have to keep listening for that one, because there's no track called crowd work.
Remember that, comics are listening too. There is no track called crowd work. I do great crowd work.
Or you can do a trick question like how long is track 41, and there isn't a track 41.
Is that bonus track that I can't going back?
You gotta just leave the shit on until it gets to it.
Now that's good intel, man. That's good stuff, because I got this dad bod going on, which I hear is all the rage.
Adam Sandler has a dad bod. I'm like, Adam Sandler's fat.
That's just men trying to take the power back. You know what I mean? It's just like, you didn't hear it was a young girl. It's the same shit. Same shit as when women are like, I'm still beautiful, and they're like a little too chunky. Yeah. You know, it's like that. Yeah. It's like you just, oh, this is hot now.
I'm wondering if a dude came up with that term.
Chick came up with it. She goes to one of those schools, either Tulane or South Carolina or some shit. I think it's Tulane.
I want to say the guy was like David Banner or some shit. got like prison muscles, but still got fat.
His dad, just not enough time to finish the job.
Got prison muscles, but he's still fat.
Well, the problem
with push-ups.
Yeah, I do about 20, 25 push-ups a day. I mean, that's enough. I'm still drinking these 40s.
Right. The sit-ups is where we lose.
I'm still eating this chicken, drinking these 40s.
Go get that pizza tonight.
I do about 20, 25 push-ups
that's
every day.
I'm going to get that pizza
while I watch some in-shape people do it.
That's not dad bod. If you have muscles but you're fat, that's bouncer bod. You know what I mean? Like dad bod to me is a little more doughy. This article, I just Googled dad bod.
They had a picture of Adam Sandler. I was like, he's fat.
Yeah, Adam. He went fat.
Yeah, but he doesn't. But it's just concentrated in the middle. He doesn't have a fat face. He doesn't have like fat shoulders and arms and shit. He just has the belly.
He has a lot of time on his hands.
I'm gonna tell you why I stay in the gym, because there's nothing worse to me than the old black man with no ass, skinny with a gut. I ain't going out like that. And see how Haywood's laughing? That's because Haywood's got an uncle.
A deep look. We all know.
Just like that. He has an uncle who has that look. Tall, skinny.
Pockets touching the back.
No ass and a gut. Wait, how are you going to be skinny with a gut? It's only old ass black man who smokes Moore's cigarettes. See how he was laughing?
Because
he's talking. Because I'm talking about his uncle
and
right
they
now.
All their shirts tucked in.
Tucked way in.
Listen, my wife, every time I wear my shirt tucked in, she's like, look, Uncle Haywood.
This is the essay on the dad bod. I'm not going to read all of it, but I just pulled it up. Here are some of the reasons. This is written by a girl.
Oh, God.
19-year-old college 19. Girl.
Which made every dude go crazy. Oh, yeah. Shit.
A couple of the reasons, which is very telling to me, about why girls like the dad bod, according to this one.
Right, right.
Number one, it doesn't intimidate us. Few things are worse than taking a picture in a bathing suit. One being taking a picture in a bathing suit with a guy who is crazy fit. See, it's not about the dude.
Yeah.
No, it's
yeah.
about your self-esteem, lady. We don't want a guy that makes us feel insecure. She said, we don't want a guy that makes us feel insecure about our body. We are insecure enough as it is. We don't need a perfectly sculpted guy standing next to us to make us feel worse. We like being the pretty one. So she wants to ugly you up.
Yeah.
It's a trick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a trap.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's going on.
This is life imitating art, and they want to be the hot chick with the comedian on it, with the Kevin James on the side or the Cedric on the side.
By the way, very very honest of this girl to write this. Because a lot of times people will couch it in some other way. We love people saying they look cute together, but we still like being the center of attention. We want to look skinny, and the bigger the guy, the smaller we feel, and the better we look next to you in a picture.
You don't want to stand next to me. I'm skinny than a motherfucker. You don't want to stand by me.
And fit and in shape
and shit. You're going to feel bad.
That's a very honest.
But here's why most men don't mind that, Andy. Most men don't mind what she said. You know why? Because we like 19-year-old pussy.
I get the fucking 19-year-old girl.
And, by the way,
I get the fucking 19-year-old hot girl.
Right.
I don't care. You think I care that you think I'm a fat slob?
You know what Adam Sandler said? I'm going to hit it. Just like getting funny people. You're not going to hit it, Seth? Well, watch this.
Yeah. He's got a new movie out called The Retaining Water Boy.
You're right. Telling.
We talked to Michael Felder, and I had a discussion with him.
I got in late on that.
He came in late.
I missed all of it, basically. Yeah.
It was basically about the article that we wrote, that we talked about last week, about these women who are buying stuff, clothes online, and they're complaining about how the model looks in the thread. But Michael's point, which is valid.
And we did sort of overlook that.
Yeah, which is valid, is that you buy the stuff online and it's not what you buy. But to me, the point of their thing
sell it in stores.
Wasn't that
they have
the
no ability
point
to...
of their thing was this doesn't fit me the way it fits the model. I'm like, well, you can't buy shit online.
Because it's online.
I can't.
But that's the whole point.
And I'm in shape.
They can't buy shit in stores.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but the thing is that neither can I. You see what I mean?
Well, here this is this
so wait,
is,
they can't go shopping?
Well, they buy shit online because remember when we used to first start buying clothes online, like they would just sell it like small, medium, large.
Yeah.
And every store has a different version of that.
Yeah.
And then I think because people got burned so much, now when you go shop online, they give you actual measurements. Like a medium is this in the chest.
Yeah, they do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so
yeah,
their whole point was we can't go to the store and try this shit on. We have to
because
go
it's
online.
An online place. It's an online place.
So they give us the measurements.
Right.
And we measured ourselves and the clothes came and you know, it doesn't give me the room in the middle that it gave the model on the thing. Of course,
you ain't
in the middle,
modeling.
You have the gut. But but this is the...
You've got more gut than the model does.
Right.
I think the problem is the notion of...
I don't look like her.
In my exact size. And let's say you buy a dress shirt as a man, because I haven't bought a dress in a while. Yeah. I bought a shirt. The dress shirt gives you...
I have bought some dresses.
Yeah, there's a couple dresses. Sold them today.
Sold them just today.
A dress shirt might give you the chest measurement.
Yeah.
It will give you the neck. Mm-hmm. It'll give you the sleeves.
Yeah, the arm. Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't give you like
the gut.
Like my exact size.
Right.
All right. So the chest would be around 40. The neck would be about 15 and a half.
Right.
Although I think 15 I could fit in. And then the sleeves, whatever the length is. But below the chest, there is no actual number. So
there could be someone like me who has
a dad bod,
right?
Who has, because I could be a dude. Let's say not even me. A dude could be 40 inch chest,
right,
and 38 inch,
right,
let's say midsection.
Right.
The next dude could be 40 inch chest and 52 inch midsection.
Right, right, right.
But they're wearing the same size shirt because they don't have that measurement.
Right.
They don't have the gut number.
Right.
And I don't think you can really feasibly do that because then what about like pants? I got the waist, but what about my thighs? What about my calves?
Right.
So exact size is not really exact unless you get a tailor.
Exactly, and that's what you do. You have to
which
go get
is what
tailor.
I have to do.
That's what you have to do. Yeah.
I have a small waist, long legs, and a big butt. If I was a woman, I'd be in the house.
That's why you look so good in those dresses.
Exactly. Yeah. I have a small waist, long legs, and a big butt. So when I buy pants, I bite the bullet always dress pants. Mm-hmm. Jeans are just by a size up, wear big, and I just tighten the shit out of them with a belt. Mm-hmm. Okay, so like usually guys with no belts, I always wear a belt with jeans because if I don't, they're falling off me. Yeah. I don't have any choice. So I always wear a belt with jeans. I'm trying to do some Janet Jackson shit where I wear the shit down low so you can see the top of my drawers. I ain't doing that.
That's it. Yeah, Janet.
But dress pants?
Well, I bite the bullet and get them tailored.
And I never buy pants online. I never buy pants online.
I don't buy clothes online.
I only buy shirts from a brand that I worn a lot. And I know exactly what my size is in that brand.
You know what I buy?
Another thing is that sizes have gotten bigger. Like large, we've talked about this before. Yeah. Large is a large today is like XL.
Yeah.
Also, with the trends, like with skinnier clothes now, large is actually a little bit smaller with certain stores.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Old Navy is like that.
And so you won't have, let's say, the gut measurement, but you'll have something like relaxed fit. Yeah. Or relaxed European fit, cut or whatever.
Which means fat fuck.
Yeah.
European cut means skinny white boy.
Skinny white, yeah, it does. Yeah, exactly.
Which gives you some information.
Who smokes cigarettes and slouches a lot. Yeah. That's what European cut
means. Or they got that new style civil rights worker.
What these girls did, though, they literally measured themselves and ordered the clothes in their exact measurements. The problem is their exact measurements only have like three parts of their body measured.
Right, right.
And it doesn't measure all of it. And then there's one of the pictures where the girl was like, these shorts make my ass look like whatever.
My ass look high.
No, not even that. It was another one. But I was, it's like there's a very hacky old comedian, a joke that a lot of comedians have done, you know. Well, my wife said, these jeans make my ass look fat. I'm like, no, your ass makes your ass look fat. But that used to be, before it was hack, a pretty good joke.
It's funny
because
it's true.
It's like, do these clothes make your ass look like that? Or is that just how you're shaped? You know. And granted, you want clothes that will flatter you. But at some point, I mean, they can't measure every part of your body because they go out of business trying to have 1,000 different sizes of clothes.
And so they're upset.
But those girls can't go to the store and try shit on. If they go to the store, they're buying fucking muumuus because that's all the stores carry.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. So that was my question. They
want a cooler clothes.
They want cooler clothes, but so they're not going to Lane Bryant. These are bigger people, I'm assuming.
They're bigger.
I mean, they weren't huge. They were juicy.
So go to Lane Bryant. Like Lane Bryant is a bigger woman.
But even then, like they cater. Like Lane. That's the thing with like if I go to the mall, there's clothes. I mean, there's stores that cater to younger people, professional people, edgier people, just generic like polo shirt and jeans me.
Yeah.
But if you're a girl who's bigger, or even the guy who's bigger, probably if you go to the big and tall, there's one store. They don't have a section for every type of
And they don't have all
person.
The styles. They don't.
Right, because there's only one store. So that's their whole point.
Casual male for myself.
And they have a point, and we did overlook that point. But we were just busy getting mad at them, like, well, the model doesn't have a gut.
Yeah, well, they're shitting on the model. I'm like, well, the model is not.
Also, there was one of the pictures where there's two girls, the black girl, they're wearing like this, like almost like a cat suit, like a black thing.
Yeah.
And the black girl's like, I'm uncomfortable in this. I'm like, you actually look pretty good in that. I had no problem with the way she looked. She didn't feel good.
The white chick didn't look good in it because she was short. And it didn't feel good.
Yeah, cat suit, you shouldn't have a cat suit on anyway.
And then they started making fun of, but mentioning the model's actual body rather than the clothes on her. I'm like, well, now I think truth comes out a little bit. Like, this model has perfect legs.
Like. That's what it sounds like. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can't order perfect legs from Amazon.
The model's supposed to. I'm like, no, the model is her size. She's just fucking fine.
Well, she wears
in that size.
She wears it in different places.
This is also online, so you can also tell the shit online and make it look just right.
Well, the model has a team of people dressing her. The model's not buying the shit off the off the rack either.
Right.
Nor is she buying the shit offline.
Well, also,
she has a team of people dressing her.
Two men,
gonna fit her exactly how it's supposed to be.
Right. Let's cinch this. Yeah.
Two men who are the same height and weight, let's say 6'1", 200, right?
Yeah.
They might wear that weight in.
Entirely different places. Exactly.
You know?
And that's the one wants to factor in the individual factor.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot, like when you go to the doctor's office. But in a really good doctor will tell you when you have to, you know, it's like eat to your body type, eat to your body style. And this is what you were telling earlier when you're training. Give me what you are doing.
Yeah.
Because I can give you what I do, but that's not specific to you.
That's not specific to you.
So you really do need something tailor made. And these people, this is what kills me now about today. It's like, well, they should think about me. Well, no, you should think about you.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's really like.
Did you think about you?
I get my stuff. I go to Walmart to get my t-shirts and stuff like that. I don't get mad if they don't have a t-shirt in my size. I just go, oh, shit, you know, I'm a little too big still.
Yeah.
Or when I look right in it, I wear the motherfucker. That's
right.
It's just that simple.
Yeah.
But nicer things you do have to get tailored, especially if you want it to look like it's. If you want the look of it being dressed up,
it has to look like it fucking fits
right. Right. Like, it's like, you know, like I remember watching a video, Jay-Z had a pair of pants on. They fell just right as he walked. And I was that's perfect tailoring. Like, you as your leg lifts,
who should have tailored up? Look at Barack Obama in a press conference.
Man, when he under that brown suit, that shit was mean.
It was mean.
Nice.
That's the first thing I said when he came out. I was like, oh, that's a sharp suit right there.
But you know, you can't afford to do that with all your clothes. Yeah. That's you can't.
But you do it with the nice clothes. That's what you
and
do.
And I think all of us.
I just jean it up.
Definitely do it with your nice clothes.
All of us have tried on clothes that are literally to our exact specifications on like the waist and the length. And you put them on, you're like, this feels weird.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, again, they might not have your thighs right or your butt right or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why, remember back in the day when we used to try them on?
Yeah. But that's what these two girls were saying.
Oh, they can't try them on.
With mama in the store?
Yeah, you can't try them on. Okay, here's something I found out. And this is about buying stuff online, right? Because they used to buy, I don't buy anything online anymore. Like I said, other than a t-shirt, which I know will probably fit.
Right, right.
So, like, I just bought a pair of Converse recently. I went to the Converse store. I had never known this, though, that Converse, their size is a size up. So as I wear a size 13, in Converse, I wear actual size 12.
Okay.
So if I bought a 13 online, it would come and it would be too big.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I'm thinking, well, it's a 13, but I don't know that that's Converse's style to make it like that.
Yeah, Nike's a little bit like, Nike seems to fit a little small.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
But that's why when I buy shit online, I usually, it's something that I've already bought in the store.
Yeah.
Like if I buy a blue shirt and I also wanted the gray one.
Right.
They didn't have it.
Right, right.
I'll go to the website and buy it because I already know how that fits.
Right.
But I won't usually buy it sight unseen, unless it's like a tie maybe, like shit that you can't fuck up. I mean, ties have a width. You better make sure you get the right width.
The right width because you get them skinny ties and it don't look right.
Or they're extra wide 1976.
No shit.
So you can look like Huey Lewis. The skinny tie.
Yeah, I mean, everybody,
shit like that I'll buy online. But
people get upset because people not thinking about them, and it's just like, yo, that's what you're really upset about. Somebody isn't catering to you. So here's the thing, and here's the thing in this beautiful global economy, do that. Cater to somebody.
Start your own.
You know, go listen. Send it to us, and it
you sound like Dame Dash right now.
Well, but it's the truth because what they instead of being bitching about it, they found a market. So now there's a market for us. Now, hey girl, it's called a hey girl, hey.
Hey girl. Hey girl.
We're gonna send your clothes out to you. Now, if they don't fit just right, send it back. You know, go to the local tailor that we partner with. Send it back. All of this is in the initial cost that you're going to pay.
Right.
And as the shipping and handling goes back and forth, we'll eat that cost. But you're going to pay a higher premium because it's a boutique. And that's what a boutique is. You can't get this everywhere.
I think the problem with that, though, is you're not going to get the hipper designers involved in that. They're just going. You're going to get like the fucking.
Yeah, true. Well, you might.
If it gets.
I tell you, who will get Dame Dash.
He's definitely going.
He needs an income stream right now. He just lose his kids.
Yeah, he did.
I think so.
That's
sad
too,
man.
Yeah, like he lost. He had him and lost him for the shit they were doing together.
Yeah.
She was like, he smokes marijuana. I was like, you was smoking with him, Heffa. You know, damn well you was smoking that weed. Well, now you know. Get the fuck out of here with this bullshit. But she has a clothing line.
Yeah. What time is it, man?
She has a boutique.
We're 42 minutes.
Want to get to it?
I guess.
Let's
get to it. We got to at some point.
All right, Baltimore. Here we go.
Go O's.
I was actually there. Shout out to Magoobies.
We should just analyze the Ravens draft. That's our Baltimore segment.
I don't know what they took. It's the thing. I only listen.
Look it up.
All I ever do is who goes first, maybe who goes second. And then I never worry about the Steelers.
I look at the Redskins.
Oh, yeah. I know you do. Starting number one pick,
you
right?
have to look at the Redskins because Redskins are out of their fucking minds.
Right.
So you have to look at them. And
they did pick an old lineman.
They did take a great old lineman.
Old lineman, D lineman, running back, receiver so far.
Yeah. So, I mean, I never worry about the Steelers. I wait till the shit is over and then I look at them.
Because everybody ain't going to make camp.
So they got a linebacker. I think the Steelers
they got a linebacker number one. That kid from like Kansas State, I think of him.
Yeah.
And he's really good. So that's cool.
I've never worried about the Steelers.
Yeah. Right. Why should we?
They're not crazy.
Why should we? It's called Sixburg for a reason.
Yeah. So
Baltimore drafted a whole bunch of people to run around and start fires.
There you go.
How about that?
There you go.
How about that?
I don't know. In a vacuum.
The trip is that, shout out to Magoobie's Joke House. I was there with Greer Barnes.
Greer.
Yes, Greer was fantastic.
Greer is hilarious. He was on the Chappelle Show.
If you have not listened, go to the Digression Sessions podcast.
Will you host it?
Oh, yeah. Sort of.
Josh, I got to dip out and go host this show.
Oh, really? I got to listen to it.
Josh was interviewing me, and he had to go. Greer came in.
So you and Greer talked?
So I finished it.
You finished the interview.
So I finished the interview.
It was literally like a Colbert Report. It was like, hey, this is going right into Nightly Color with Larry Wilmore. Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah. So I finished.
But I digress.
I finished the podcast. The podcast. I was like, hey, thanks, y'all. Guys, I'm Randolph Terrence, and this has been Greer Barnes. We're out. Hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, because he had to go. So check that out, the Digression Sessions. Anyway, we were there this weekend. And
Last Saturday. When it all started. The riot.
Josh was on the phone with his lady. His lady works down there by the stadium. Homeland Security made her stay in her store. She's watching through the window. Yeah, they were like, you can't leave.
Well, they made people not leave the Orioles game that night, too.
So she's watching through the window, and she's like, this is just, everybody knows this by now, but many people don't believe it, is that she was like, the marchers came in, because they were marching, they came in, and the people in the O stand started picked fights with them. Damn. You niggers need to get out of here. A lot of racial stuff, throwing shit at them.
Damn.
Here's what you really can't do with black people. Here's what you really can't do with black people. You can't just start throwing shit at us.
Random shit, right?
And start talking shit.
By the way, the Orioles' best player is a black gentleman.
Yes, and their coach is down for the cause.
Right, and their owner.
Their owner's down for the cause.
How many guys named Buck are down for the cause?
Look, I know. Buck O'Neill.
He was just like, but I'm not black, so.
Buck and the preacher.
Buck and the preacher, exactly.
That's about it.
Look at that young Buck. That's
and
what you
Buck
said.
Showalter. Those are the three Bucks I know.
Right.
Buck Showalter got busy, man. Yeah. Fucking Angelos.
Angelos.
No wonder they winning. No wonder Baltimore's winning again.
And that was when it was jumping off. You know, and she was like, the reason why I was jumping off was it wasn't the protesters, it was the people at the stadium, because they marched for like 4 miles leading up to getting to the stadium.
Right.
It was all peaceful.
Right.
Got to the stadium, and all of a sudden, shit just jumps off. Well, yeah.
Take this.
Because drunk sports fans.
Right. You got drunk sports fans.
Which is always a riot.
Yeah.
Which is always a riot.
It's not a riot, though. We'll come back. We'll circle around and come back to that. Drunk sports fans. We're going to circle around and come back to that.
It's a quiet riot.
We're going to circle around and come back to that. So black folks went berserk. And black, well, some white folks was out there with them rioting.
Right.
Out there on Fleek.
So black folks say, oh, so you want to see some niggas.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll show you some
niggas. And then the story just took off. You all know what the story is. The brother got beat half to death. They broke his neck.
Yeah.
He broke his own neck.
He broke his back.
He broke his own. That's a thing that happens.
I mean, they had the tape.
I'm trying to go in order because I want to jump out of order so bad.
Well, people know.
And then the people found out about it, and the people got mad, finally, and then have started the people of the community. Have gotten mad. Now, what I didn't know was, and this is in the order, what I didn't know was that the Baltimore PD has paid out $5 million in restitution to victims of police violence. Close to six.
And I believe Maryland has a cap on how much you can sue for.
Yeah.
So that's
so probably more.
So people get like $200,000 at the most or whatever the number is. So
and they've had
it had to add up
everything.
With that, too. It's like you can only get so much money for the brutality claim if you win. So you got to look at that, too. $6 million. When they've capped how much they can pay out, which means a lot of payouts, which means there's a lot of people who lost their case
because
cops tend to be credible in court or seen as credible. So these are the people who were, it was so egregious.
Right.
They actually beat the system.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They got beat and then
they beat the system.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The system was designed to beat them.
Right.
So
$6 million is a conservative estimate on how
I'm supposed
often
to believe that this is a good police force.
Right.
Just beating dog shit
out of
the public.
Right.
Beating dog shit out of the public.
Let's think about the term you use, police force. This is what we call it these days. I mean, it's really a police department.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Reggie the other day. He's a friend of the show. We were talking about, is it a police department? Because I could deal with a department. But if I have to deal with a force now, we're talking about like Star Wars. And we're talking about people. We're talking about like, this is something angry. This is something powerful. How do you deal with a force? You know?
A show of force.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is a force to be reckoned with,
How do you deal with not so much how you deal with them. That's one thing. But how do you deal with a society that cedes authority to them?
There you go.
That's you go.
Who says what they do goes.
Society cedes authority. Right. Seed being C-E-D-E. I'm right. educated.
There it seeds. Is. He told you he's a trainer.
Seeds authority to them. How do you deal with them?
Right.
How
right.
do you deal with that?
Who just has a we do what we want to do policy.
Yeah.
Who has a just a, like as a citizen, your greatest power is to say, well, wait a minute now. Am I being detained or am I being arrested?
Yeah.
You literally have the right to ask that. But yeah. these days, the police force is judged. They are judged during executioner right there. Don't do yeah. this on my block. Well, wait a minute now. Isn't this my block or the district attorney's block or the citizens of Baltimore yeah. or where we are
and,
now?
And. Yeah, we're doing this to you, but we're trying to keep you safe.
Safe, right. Right.
Yeah, we're trying to
right.
keep you safe.
Right.
So black people freaked out. Black people, they rioted, of right. course. And then every riot that started, started based strictly on the bad decisions that were made by government.
Yes.
You know? You put these kids at the mall. Okay, yeah. So you hear that through social media.
Right.
You heard through your sources that the kids were gonna purge at the mall.
Right.
You heard through your sources. Really, who are your sources?
Right.
Well, we can't say.
Right.
Well, where did you hear this at?
Twitter.
Well, we can't say.
It's Twitter.
Right. And then but you send the kids to the mall.
We can't say. So then the kids get to the mall. You cut off public transportation. Now the kids are stuck at the mall.
Right.
Well, they were.
And there's 300 cops.
They didn't. Right. A lot of those kids weren't even necessarily going. To the mall.
Yeah,
it's
they were going
bus
home.
That's where the bus stops.
That's where
at.
The right. bus stopped.
The right. bus stopped at the mall, and right. the cops were like, "Get off the bus."
Right.
Which, by the way, is a whole other thing. Why right. is it so hard for these fucking kids to get to school? That they got to go to a mall first.
Talk about it.
Well, they take public transportation, I guess.
Yeah, they take public transportation to the bus stop.
Why
is the bus
transportation
stop on
to get these kids to school? There's transportation in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Where my daughter goes to school.
But there's in a lot of cities, there's no more city transportation. No more yeah. bus. No more like public transportation for students. Where like back in my day, we used to pay 50 cents to take a school bus. Now a lot of kids just get those either metro cars or passes.
Well, in cities, there's so many options for public transportation. They just feel like put your kid on our regular bus.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know? Right. It'll be free because they pay for it. You pay for yeah. it. And you're, you
I
know.
Mean, Baltimore has technically a subway, but it only has like three stops. It's yeah. like yeah. LA or something. So, yeah. but there's buses all over Baltimore.
All over. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you know, like, the kids get the passes. So.
Right, and they just have to learn their route.
But when
route.
They stopped them there and was like, "Now, okay, you get off the bus," and all of a sudden, all these police are here. That's Selma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Well, what's happening?
What the fuck is this? What's,
you know, and what? They're looking at you like you're the problem.
Right.
And you're supposed to just take it.
Yeah.
You know, there was some kid who was like, oh, cool, I'm going to get some frozen yogurt.
Yeah.
And he went in and kind of just hung out for a while in there, eating his frozen. And he came out and he was like, it's all on fire. What happened? What'd you guys do? What'd you do out here? I was going to go to the arcade.
He's like, hey, man, that's what I get for hanging out today.
I just wanted a tasty treat.
Froyo. It's crazy, man.
And then
it's crazy.
Yeah, so it was rocks and bricks and all that stuff.
Rocks, bricks, mortar. They burnt down CVS's.
Yeah, yeah, escalated.
I believe that's because CVS separates the hair care products.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the, yeah, right, well, that's an obvious.
CVS, if they wouldn't
the ethnic
separate,
hair care,
if they wouldn't separate
aisle.
Hair care products,
you know what? Our head burns. The whole store burns.
You know, look at this. Look at this shit. Look at this shit.
Look at the things that got that were burnt. Look at the things that were burnt. CVS. You know,
yeah.
things that are considered predatory.
Right.
You know.
I, my personal belief is some Walgreens people sent some people in there was like burning yeah. CVS yeah. to the ground. We're trying to get that property right. Because that's what you find out. Like they were agitators and people actually like starting shit. Now we're finding out that they're a professional protesters.
Right.
That they're people yeah. who literally go, okay, now Baltimore is next. We're going to go to Baltimore, dude, just like we did Ferguson. And it's like, well
that's, I mean, in a sense, that's how Selma was done. It was like, we yeah. got to pick our spot.
Yeah.
And someone sees opportunity there.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, let's just go there. And also, there are people, just regular people who live there who are opportunists and see
oh,
this
yeah.
as an opportunity.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I think it was Jon Stewart years ago. I had a bit about every time you see like some kind of protest, no matter what the cause, there's a guy in the back holding up a legalized pot sign.
Very
like,
true.
It's like, oh, I got my own cause.
Very yeah. true.
I don't give.
Now's the time.
Freddie Gray, sure,
yeah.
but fuck CVS. Like yeah. you know, someone might have an issue, and so this is when you get that lawlessness because control yeah. winds up being lost. Then everyone's going to have their own interests, and some people's interests don't follow the group. Some people are yeah. just like, I'm going to rob people or steal shit or loot. And then, of course, the media is like, money.
Oh,
know?
Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
let's look at the looters or whatever. Yeah, but
and that's pornography.
There have been protests
it.
For literally a full week
yeah.
yeah.
before that, which got some coverage.
Yeah.
It wasn't like
but
totally
not
ignored.
Right. But now, yeah, with the riots.
Until the fires broke off.
And then you have
and
the curfew.
You had the mother who smacked her child and is now being hailed
would,
as a
that would be my mom
as a hero. I am of two minds about that. I don't call her a hero. I have settled in on the fact that I don't call her a hero, nor do I demonize her for it. I think it's more complex than, she's a hero. Mm-hmm. It's more complex than that. Marsha Warfield, whose Twitter feed will be on Fleek, her Facebook and Twitter. If you watch her, Marsha Fleeks.
Marsha all the time. She is a rebel rouser.
Guys, I don't think we're using Fleek right.
Yeah.
I don't think
she
people
said,
may Fleek right.
A mother smacks her son upside the head to make him stop throwing rocks and breaking windows, and people say she's a hero and did the right thing. But what if a riot is the people's way of smacking a system upside the head to make it stop breaking people?
Damn,
if you break a person who you purposely and deliberately took charge of and into your custody at your insistence, and he arrives at the destination of your choosing broken beyond repair, the very, very least you could do is explain how it happened before anybody has to ask. And if you don't get that, maybe somebody's mother figure needs to come get you and smack you upside the head. And by break a person, they mean you take a person into your custody.
Right.
You break his neck. You crush his vocal cords.
Allegedly.
And you don't have to explain to yourself.
Well, I think everyone knows that Freddie Gray was a fan of doing the worm.
Yeah.
With shackles on. So he was like, oh, this is my opportunity to practice. While I'm on the way to the police station, you got the shackles on. I'm going to start doing the worm in the back of this. Oh, fuck, I broke my neck. Damn it. Medic? Did I get a medic? Ah, shit. I knew this was going to happen.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's how I feel. Michaela Angela Davis, light-skinned black girl with a gigantic afro, talked about it, and she kind of articulated it for me. It's never as simple. Even Adrian Peterson was, okay, so he beats his son. And I'm not going to say he whipped his son. He beat his son. Okay, but it's not as simple as, it's child abuse. It's not that simple.
Right,
there's a lot more to it. That's not to say what he did was right, because it's not. You don't beat dog shit out. Hey, what's got 4-year-olds? I ain't never seen him beat shit out of them. I'd be stunned and amazed.
I will.
Haywood was doing
that. Get your ass out of pocket.
You know, it's
yeah, you're right.
It's a larger discussion. Where is this? Why was this behavior learned? Where does this behavior come from? Why does he think that this is normal? Why does he think that this is the way it should be done? Why do a large section of this country think that that's how it's supposed to be?
Right.
When this girl yokes her kid up, why does so many people in this country think that that's okay?
Right.
What's the reason why you think that's okay? For a lot of white people, is it that you think that that's how we should be treated?
It's symbolic.
You know,
It's fear. It's fear at the end of the day because, okay, here's the thing. In Tiananmen Square, when the kid stands in front of a tank, it's a protest. It's like, that's revolutionary.
Yeah.
When, you know, when the Americans protest the British and say, hey, we're going to throw this tea overboard, it becomes a country. It becomes a democracy.
Yeah.
When black people in America just want to say anything out of the ordinary, and if they don't stand in a song or they don't say it in a joke.
They don't rap it.
Yeah. If they don't say it in a joke, then it's out of line. It's just that simple. It is out of line. It is still the same. Know your place, young man or young woman. Yeah.
Well,
whole thing is about.
It's also this sort of paternalistic thing where it's like, guys, there are ways to go about doing this, affecting change. And it's like, we tried.
Yeah, we tried.
It's, it's not like we didn't think of that.
Right.
You know what
I mean? Right.
And so it's always that like dismissive thing, like, this is not how you do it. There are ways to do it. So try those ways. And then you try those ways and it'll work. Well, try those ways again.
Then this is the same. But this is cracks me up because this is the same generation. Like my mom, for all intents and purposes, is a hippie. So that's the generation that started burning the shit down.
Yeah.
Right.
That was burn the bras and all that stuff.
But here's your mom's problem. And this mother's problem is she is concerned that her son is going to be killed.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So again, let's not ask ourselves why this mother has to go out there and yoke her kid up. Let's ask ourselves why this mother has to be worried that her son is going to be killed by police.
Right.
It's not that she's not for the cause.
Right.
It's that she's afraid that he's going to get killed.
And we start talking about your child.
He's out there for the cause. And she's not afraid. My beef with that would be is that sometimes in the cause, I look at it as a war. We're at war state now. Okay, you're basically at a war. You're at a war against ideals, though. You're not at a war against physical people. You're at a war against ideals. And the ideal seems to be that there are a group of people in this country, 13% of the population, who can be treated in any kind of manner. They can be killed at any time. They can be kept out of places at any time. Anything can happen to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And the other half of the country doesn't seem to care. Now, there are people who care about this, but not enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people care enough to say progress happens slow, so just wait.
Yeah.
And, well, and that's the whole thing.
And you're not,
I'm in that 13%,
and you're supposed to wait.
I can't wait.
Because people who aren't directly affected,
right.
I mean, I know I said this before, but someone like me, I can run out the clock on racism. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can say...
Just stand in the corner dribbling.
Four quarters.
Just stand in the corner dribbling. All you got to do is protect the ball. Yeah. Just turn that left shoulder to the... Yeah. To just stand in
dribbling. I could be like, this is happening less and less and less.
Just stay out of his face.
And less and less. And, you know, we can just run out the clock and we'll win this, which from a long view perspective makes sense. But to the person getting beat up.
Yeah.
There's no solace in
We're
saying...
We're down by two. Throw me the ball.
There's no solace in
Hail
saying...
Hail Mary, motherfucker.
We know your neck is broken, but less necks are broken these days. Cool? And like, there's no solace
which
in
is not true. It's like more these days.
Because
it's more of
more, well, I don't even think it's more. I just think the numbers are static.
I don't think it's more or less.
I think it's that now
there's a light
because everybody has a camera in their pocket.
Yeah, well,
you see it.
Yeah,
but
well,
the numbers are static.
That's true. I mean, it's nothing has changed since, like, okay, so you remember, you know the story. We can go back to like the Scottsboro Boys, or we can go back to like Emmett Till.
Yeah.
There have been stories over
and over
again.
When they killed the whole town in Oklahoma.
Well, shit, Black Wall Street or Rosewood.
Destroyed the town.
Fucking over here in D.C., they had a riot right there in Anacostia.
Yeah, but people don't believe that those things happen.
So you go, this is the society that people live in, and they say, okay, well, wait a minute now. We're going to tell you who you are. We're going to tell you how you should be. But this is not the way society is. The society that we grow up in, and this is all of us here who live in this American society, is get yours.
Right.
It's really that simple. Get yours, because no one is going to give you yours.
I need a dollar. Dollar is what I need.
So how do you... This is the two minds, right?
I need a dollar.
In addition to that, a lot of people have this idea that everyone has the same ability to get yours.
Well, people say that all the time. They go, well, wait a minute.
Just work hard.
Yeah, they say, well, just work. We all have the same opportunities now.
Ignore race.
Because mindset has not changed. If here's the thing. I always like to say this, right? People say, well, I don't see color. Bullshit. Because if I robbed you, you'd be like a big black dude took my wallet. Because you would have to describe me.
Right. That's so disrespectful
to
me.
You absolutely
you
do
see color.
What you have to do is say, I see color and culture and as a part of your humanity.
Well, what next time you hear someone say,
my
I don't see color.
My wife proved that today, by the way.
When she
related to these women and sold $800 worth of secondhand clothes.
But people don't want to admit the culture is different.
These other bitches were just standing there going, how come they're selling so much stuff? My wife is like, come on, say that, I'm like, that's why.
How many?
And that's what's funny, because they'd be like, well, why are they cool? Why are you guys cool? And it's like, well, because we're actually interacting.
We're not trying.
A lot of people don't want to interact. They don't want to know. They want to tell you. I have some friends that I had to delete, and I'm very rare to do this, but I have some friends I delete.
That's the purge.
Because they want to tell me. Well,
I have purged.
This is how you should see it. Well, wait a minute. Now I'm the person experiencing it.
Yeah.
So what do you mean how I should?
Why don't you listen to me?
Yeah, like I'm the one going through it, and then you go, well, hey, well, you don't have any issues. Well, what issues do you know I have?
Yeah.
Because
well, how many people,
I'm happy.
How many people... Like, whenever you hear someone say, I don't see color.
Yeah.
What color is that person?
It's usually white.
They're not black.
Yeah.
They're generally not
usually not a person
Hispanic.
Of any
Latin.
Ethnicity. Yeah.
They're generally not
Asian. And I don't even say
Asian.
Ethnicity, because you got my Italian friends here, my Polish friends. Anybody who understands, anybody who had a trial or tribulation really gets it.
But no black person says, I don't see color.
Yeah.
Like white people are like this is a reframing. This is kind of a framing an argument. Like, we want everyone to not see color, so we're gonna say
what Nick DiPaolo said: if you bet on a sport, I bet you see color. Yeah.
So we're gonna say the right thing is to not see color, right? And so we're gonna put that out there and then make it wrong to see color and then dictate this point of view. It's not wrong to see color, especially if you have color.
Yeah.
I mean, it's necessary.
It's necessary.
My color is to say. Your color is not. People like to say, like, are you a comedian who's black, or are you a black comedian?
Mm.
Being black informs my comedy because being black informs who I am,
and it can be both.
Mm-hmm.
I don't run from that. Yeah,
right.
And he's right. It
culturally frames how you grew up and how you see the world.
I don't run from that.
Right.
I don't have to. Usually, when I feel like I hear somebody saying that, it's like. what you're saying is, I don't talk about things that are black, right. Therefore you're at ease. And this is not me. This is just right, in general. Because right. people will tell you that. Right. It's like, oh, you need to be more. No, you want me to be
right.
so you're not, you don't feel on edge. Right. I like when people are on edge. A guy that I've had some back and forth with people online in private emails, and one told me, look, anybody who follows me on Facebook knows that I post stuff. During the day,
when you free it happen over
there. Well, yeah, right. Well, the thing that kind of became for me is that I know people who are down in the trenches, and I can't be down in the trenches, mm-hmm. right? So, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
What do I have? All I have is really my Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then, I'll say shit that I feel on my Facebook, mm-hmm. and if people want to get with it, and I had a guy tell me. We've been going back and forth in private messenger, and he told me that I've changed his mind completely because he was like, when you first started, it used to piss me off. I was like, if it pissed you off that I post all that stuff, good. I hope it did.
Right.
But it made you pay attention.
Right.
And it turned you around.
Right.
And that was right. the point. That was the point.
Right.
Because he was like, yeah, I became to realize right. that. And I never thought about when I started off posting this stuff. I never thought about I'm gonna make somebody.
Right.
This is just how I feel
right.
about this stuff. And I've lost people. There's comics that we know that I cut out of my life because yeah. I know how you feel now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know people on superficial levels.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's in your soul. When mm-hmm. I know what's in your soul, now I got a decision to make. Mm-hmm. I want you in my life. Or don't I?
That's right. That's why I don't get in these conversations. I don't want my soul revealed. Like
it is what you're.
Andy, you don't have a soul. You're an atheist.
I'm soulless. That's
you
true.
Don't have a soul.
No one has a soul. Actually, actually,
we share one spirit.
You asked me.
It animates us yeah. all.
And I've thought about in the last
it has
couple
no
weeks.
Color.
I think I've lost a couple of others. There was a guy. There's a pretty black dude on Grey. I can't remember his name. Jesse something.
Mm.
A pretty black dude on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh yeah. The like. Jesse yeah.
He is an activist.
Yeah,
he's out there.
He's out.
He's
yeah.
out there in
yeah.
the streets fleeking.
Is he? I'm in Ferguson. I'm in Baltimore.
He was saying about how riots are called. Now we're circling back to riots. They're not called riots when the white dudes at sporting events. They're not called riots.
He said that too, and I saw that like that was that one. It was like a 25 tweet.
Yeah, it was
thing
25
that he
tweets.
Said. Outside of the context too, you can attach whatever you want to what he said there. But there, he had a whole context around what he was getting yeah. at. But yeah, he did. He made the point, which a lot of people have made, not just him.
Right.
Yeah.
That and then you post the pictures of the white kids flipping over a car.
The,
and
larger,
right.
the larger context is that it's a media thing. The right. media portray right. doesn't portray them as thugs, bad kids, blah blah
right.
blah. They're just youthful. It's just youthful hijinks. I'm like, there's right. a fucking cop car on fire.
Right.
It'll say they're bad.
They turned it over.
I mean, they'll say they're bad.
Right.
They won't condone, but yeah, it won't be the same vitriol toward the people.
No.
It'll just be. You know, we got to fix this and you can't do that. It's not like, you know, people basically screaming about these thugs.
Yeah.
It's not,
which
it's
means,
not injustice.
Which
so it's no fear
else.
That it's going to yeah. flame any yeah. kind of fire
well,
that's going to do anything else.
I think I had a back and forth with a comic that we know that I thought I was close with. And I'm like, I'm thinking about, I'm like, I don't think I can be close with you anymore, man. Because he put it up, he called him a moron.
Mm.
He said, well, this guy's a moron. I didn't see anything happen like that at the Masters. This guy's a moron. Mm. To which I private messaged him because that's how I do. If I think that I've known you, I'll private message you. I'm not going to take it mm-hmm. to the public. I said, look, man, if he's a moron, then I'm a moron.
Mm-hmm.
Then mm-hmm. I'm a moron, right?
Yeah, right.
Because I feel exactly the same way he feels. And then it was, what do you mean? And then you want to divert the conversation into other areas.
Right.
And well, we let these people. We like you let there the people of Baltimore. You didn't let anybody down because you don't even think about these people in Baltimore.
Yep.
I said, stay on target. This
yep.
is about
yep.
the perception of black males,
yep.
black youth
yep.
through the media
yep.
and through our culture.
Yep.
That's what this is about.
And there is a context yep. around what Jesse Williams was saying that gives it, if you're not sure what he means by that, or if you think he means something that you think is stupid, and he's not a dumb guy.
No.
No. No.
Go read all of them. And yeah. you'll be like, oh, okay, I see what he's saying. You can take a piece yeah. of something and pull it out. Especially with Twitter, because Twitter lives for being out of context.
Right. Yeah. 140 yeah. characters.
It's 140 characters.
Right.
People do it all the time. People will have a string of 20 or 30 tweets. That's why when Patton Oswalt did that long thing, he did
yeah.
one out of 53. Like he let you know that this is, and I guess people have to start doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's
right.
how you know, oh, this is part of a longer, I'm writing an essay in
yeah.
in 140 characters at a time.
Because
mm-hmm. it's easy to pull something out. Look at Trevor Noah. It's easy to pull something
yeah.
out and make someone yeah. a monster yeah. for some little thing
Randall
they said.
Terrence.
It's part of a longer, it's part of a bigger thought. And so is this guy really, I mean, do you really think he's a moron? Or did you not really interpret what he said? Or did you not seek out the full context?
What that
of
means
what
is you didn't seek out.
I always seek out.
And that goes
which
back
which tells
to,
much, well, you know what that makes you? The moron.
Moron, right. That goes back to people don't want their worlds screwed up, screwed with. They want to know that everybody, it's like Barbara Bush said, those people were happy all before. So yeah. A lot of people think folks are happy the way things are because they don't know what's going on because there's no attention to it. And then when attention is raised, it's
Pat
just like.
Roberts said that on MSNBC one day. Back when he was on before, they were like, you know what? You're too racist.
Oh, too racist. Right. Yeah.
You can't be on here. And he was like, back in the 60s, black people were happy with something. Like, you think they were happy with being second class citizens? You believe that, don't you?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
He really does. That's why he can't go to his school.
Did you see this movie with Dennis Haysbert and Julianne?
Oh, yes, Julianne Moore.
Dennis Quaid was gay.
Yes.
And she was her husband, and he was gay.
Yeah, they took that long. Yes.
There was a part in that really struck me. It was like they were talking about black people. They just thought the black people just, I don't know what they thought. It's like they just thought that they were just around, and then they were just gone. But she, through the interaction with him, discovered that there's a whole life that black people are living.
Right.
You just never see it. Literally right across from the trail tracks, there's a whole other world over there.
They got their own barbershops and stores and everything.
You just never see it.
Well, that's the initial idea of white privilege from the essay that was written in the early 90s was about how if you're white, you can not experience race. You never have to experience race if you don't want to. So you can actually not see it.
Right.
You can turn on the TV and and people of your race are on TV. Yeah, you can get hired a new job. You
this
to,
was in the 50s.
People who look like you work there. You can move to a town, pretty much any town you move to, with maybe a couple exceptions. People you know for sure, people who look like you will be there. So that's where it's like, I don't even have to experience things on a racial level.
Right.
Hence not see color.
Right.
And it's like, I didn't even know that was going on. Half a mile away.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Half a mile. Walking distance.
Right, right.
Right.
There's a whole
you throw poverty on top of that.
There.
Now you got, and at the end of the day, that's what it all equates to. You throw poverty on top of that because, you got the bad parts of the neighborhood in all parts of Baltimore. You got your white bad parts and your black bad parts. But then you say, wait a minute, the police force
because
operates
Baltimore's
like
a shithole.
Period.
Let's not act like it's not.
I mean, once the dock stopped really doing that docking shit, it was everybody. Yeah. This is what Angela was talking about. When jobs went overseas, everybody got screwed. It didn't matter back in the day when everybody was living in their own community, policing their own community.
Yeah.
So now what you have police like in my neighborhood. I know there's one cop who lives behind me. But a lot of cops I know come from Columbia or come from Silver Spring or so. I'm like, wait a minute now. This is not your area. This is not your neighborhood. So do you really have a stake in what's going on?
Right.
By the same token, you also don't have people growing up to become police. So I go, it's a two.
So you have to import from other neighborhoods.
Yeah, it's a two avenue thing. It's like, wait a minute now. We have to, I do jury duty. And I was asking some friends of mine, I was like, you guys do jury duty? They're like, hell yeah. I mean, I'm not, don't. You weren't, they were like, I don't mean as a defendant.
Right.
Once you get your shit cleaned up, go get your fucking voter's registration card and go do jury duty. Even if you never become a part of the jury pool, you're now at least registered and you have a shot at going, wait a minute, I'm just going to at least listen to what has happened. Because if you listen, you go, wait a minute, there's a little more, so maybe it shouldn't be. Because sentencing guidelines go along with what you say the fucking verdict is.
Yeah, yeah.
The judge now goes, I have to sentence them within 1 to 2 years or 3 to 5.
Look what's happening to this kid. Okay, the kid who busted out the window.
Yeah.
He's got a $500,000 bond.
Yeah.
He busted out a car window.
Cop car.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Right.
That's right. Like, it's a fucking
it's a cop car. But it's a government
vehicle. I don't give
vehicle.
A fuck if it's a cop car or not. It's a fucking car.
Yeah.
And no one was in the car.
Why are you placing them above the fact that it's the institution of police, the police force? How dare you?
How dare you
disrespect us?
Right. And that's
so
what that is.
In the meantime,
the
six cops are now got arrested for murder.
Yeah.
many charges.
Sure. Murder too.
And
the
they're
most
out
heinous.
On bail. Yeah. And their bail was less than hit. It doesn't make sense.
And then you have the police union, which is what the police union has to do, go,
well,
they did
to
nothing
do that
wrong.
Because
and,
of the union.
But see, and that's what bothers me when you go, wait a minute, nobody's getting to the root core of what this is. You got a lot of poor people guarding poor people who are just basically going, we all fucked up. You're going to feel it too. I'm watching one cop on the television go, look, somebody let, this is a black cop. Look, they let some people out of the zoo. I'm like, whoa, this is how you see the people fucking policing now. Yeah. Automatically, you calling everybody animals. So why shouldn't I act like that?
Yeah, but I talked to Andrew at McGoobie's, and he was saying, you know, Timmy Hall was there. Timmy Hall was telling him.
He is a cop.
Yeah, he was like, the last person you want to deal with is a black cop. And I said, yeah, anybody black who's in any kind of positions of authority or power, everybody black knows that that black person is way worse than
way
any white
worse.
Person.
Yeah, they got shit at stake.
They can't be seen as showing favoritism to the other black people.
Yep.
They don't want to lose their spot.
Yep. They can't lose their spot.
They're much harder on black people than the white person would be because they're showing off for the white person.
But they're also getting it from all sides. If they don't do this, the white people are going to say shit. If they don't do this, the black people won't respect them.
Well, yeah.
So they make a deal with themselves.
It's a greater burden.
I don't give a fuck if these
motherfuckers.
Yeah,
it's a greater burden. Look at the police union. They said, you know, which a lot of people do these maneuvers. Like, hey, let's move the trial.
Right.
To a different place because it won't be fair here because there's bias here. Or let's say you do, you go to jury duty.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's a case like this kind of a semi-racially charged.
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone's going to try to get you off the jury. They want an all-white jury.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and but the subtext of that is you, the black juror, has a bias.
Yeah.
The white juror is neutral.
Right. Right.
Well, that's not true.
Right.
But,
right.
So they have to weed out bias, but they're only weeding out you, or they're only weeding out this location because if they had the trial in some suburban area, there's no bias there. Like,
here's what they did to me at jury duty. I get there, you know, they go through the whole picking of the people, right? So there's 100 of us in the room, and they're picking us. They at number 99, I'm 100. They go, all right, we got all the people we want in our pool.
Oh,
I was like, you didn't even let me get to the point where I put my paperwork in. You just called me off work.
Right.
This is why people hate fucking jury duty because it's this shit. And they go, well, wait a minute now. At the end of the day, this is the greatest honor you can have as an American citizen to be selected for service. It is, to me.
I believe that.
It is. It's the greatest honor as an American citizen. Because you get to vote.
Here's what, Andy, you don't have. Look, Haywood grew up with a revolutionary mother.
Right?
I grew up with a black father who was in law enforcement.
Right.
I have voted in every.
Yeah.
Who was also in the military.
Yeah.
I have voted in every election since I was 18.
Same.
I have served on jury duties.
Right.
They will let it be known to you what the value and what your forefathers went through
right.
so that you could have the ability and the right to be part of the system.
Tell it.
So
people die.
Yeah, and they have no problem telling you that.
You get your ass up and go. I remember when I was like, I was going late to go vote for Barack Obama. This is my mother still living in Atlanta. Said, you go vote yet? I was like, I'm going this afternoon. Nigga, if you don't get this is not talking about going to vote. She said,
right.
Yeah. Nigga, if you don't get your ass.
You're going to call me a racial epithet.
Epithet.
Right. By the people who call me the same racial epithets.
Yo, black ass up there, go vote for this man. I'm telling you, my kids. That's
how crucial it is.
Kind of mother am I.
So that shit is crucial. That shit is, to black people of a certain age, that shit is crucial.
It is.
That shit gets drilled into you.
It proves that you have become a part of society. This is the fight now. Okay, so people go, well, you're already a part of society. I didn't have slaves. We know that.
Not.
We get that. But we're talking about an equal
part of
society. This is what equal human rights are. This is what civil rights are. The right to be an idiot if that's what I am.
Right.
Ted got into it with a girl online about Black Lives Matters. Because you know Ted be out in them streets fleeking.
Yeah.
And I got into it with a girl about Black Lives Matter.
What about all lives matter?
That's what she said.
Yeah.
And I put a comment up. I was like, yeah, all lives do matter. Clearly, there are some lives in this country that are valued higher than others.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't
believe
that, you're not paying attention.
Right.
Well, they don't know. They don't know.
Me and Dave Siegel drove her off the thread.
People don't know what that's about.
Try hard. She ran off the thread.
That's about a particular thing where black people get higher sentences for the same crimes, or if the victim of a crime is white. Whoever the perpetrator gets a harsher sentence is a white life is. People don't understand that. People think it's just some catchphrase. Like, black people, Black Lives Matter. No, it's in reference to something.
Right.
Explain why white people don't, you, Andy Klein, representative of all white people. Explain why white people that we
Andy
know. Don't
Andy brought us in the
white
ship
people
wrong.
That we know don't understand.
Because they don't want to,
what
man,
this
dog.
Is being said. They don't understand about the riot, the difference between riot, the way riot is being portrayed. Particularly, these are intelligent people.
Right.
And I'm like, you and I are seeing the exact same evidence. And you're just coming to a completely different conclusion. completely different. You even see the civil disobedience. You see how riots are described for black people and white people. You see it. You see it, and you tell me that it's not a riot unless there's anger involved.
Right. Well, it's not even like the kind of the thing
so
is
explain
there.
To the
there
people.
Are first of all, there are differences in a sport riot. I mean, because some people
Andy Klein, voice of white men.
Yeah, I'm about to disappoint a lot of people. But first of all, there are differences in riots and like sports riots, and obviously like riots for injustice, and some people do like, because there's always someone making a dumb point. Some people do like equate like a riot after a basketball win is the same as this, and the people are treated and like there's differences there, there's nuance there, but you can easily take the easy way out and say, let me pull one tweet out and pretend that someone is making this point that they're not actually making. The thing is, when you're white, since the world has been geared to you your whole life, just as a result of, you know, again, every time you turn on TV, someone like you.
Boom.
Every time you go somewhere, someone like you.
Boom.
So you're not used to things not catering to you and not being agreeable to you.
Mm.
So it's not that you're disagreeing even sometimes out of malice. You're disagreeing because you're like, no, that's not right. That's never. It's never been that way.
That doesn't fit with my mindset.
So when someone brings something to your attention and for the last 30 years of your life, you've seen it the other way, you're like, well, no. 30 years informs my thinking better than last week. Last week was an isolated incident. Let's not make it like all this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, a lot of these people, when you say, I thought I was cool with this guy, or this guy was a friend or whatever, it's not even that person has malice. That person literally sees it that way because why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Unless they actually seek out the other side of things, and sometimes you seek out a little piece.
That's the part you seize on, that little piece.
Because you're like, you're intelligent. Listen. Why didn't you seek that out?
Right.
You're a highly intelligent person.
Because
you're hanging around with dummies.
You're used to.
Why didn't you seek that out?
A teacher doesn't let the class teach them. Yeah. They teach the class.
Well,
you're used to dictating.
Reverse. A good teacher keeps
will learn.
Has an open classroom.
Keep learning.
But right, they go, well, how do I teach you this subject matter, which is ancient?
Right. But when you're used to
Carlos Santana says in his book that whenever somebody says, he'll run into Miles Davis and hey man, how you doing? What was that? What you been doing? I'm still learning.
That's his line to somebody whenever somebody talks to him.
Yeah. Hey, what you been doing? Yeah. I'm still learning. Yeah. This is Santana saying this.
But when you're in a paternalistic situation where you're always in the position of seeing yourself as the provider of information and direction and seeing the other people as the receivers of that, then you're basically a teacher who's having the students say, let's teach you calculus.
This same guy.
And you're the one who went to school for, or you're the one who thinks you're the most knowledgeable person in the room about it. So you wouldn't let that happen. And granted, you're not seeing people on the same level as you, but not even necessarily consciously. You're just saying, like, I'm the one who dictates.
About?
I'm not the one who receives.
This is the same
we
guy.
We gave you rights. That's how people say it. They do say that. George Carlin has a great bit about that. If a right has to be given, it's not a right.
It's not a right.
Because it can be taken away. And as soon as you need that right, it gets taken away by governments.
Right.
So, and that's whether you're white or black, whatever. That's just something that, like, the whole idea of rights. But it's like you fought for rights and you were given rights. Well, why would you have to be given? If it's a right, why is it given?
Like, I always ask that question. Why do you have to put these rights on a bill and say, these are your God-given
because
natural
rights?
Because
it's all bullshit. People are trying to control you, and they take away all
of
your rights.
Trying to control you, man.
So to Randall's point, how come people don't see that? Because that's the greater picture, that they're keeping us all back.
Yeah. Because they
they're trying to keep us all, like, it's the rich white landowner who only wants to win. It's the Soros and the fucking Rothschilds and Rothsteins. It's those people that don't want us to collectively become Angelos and Rooney's and own sports teams and go, well, we can build a society
too.
We
can make this better.
It's like you know, a comic, you know, new comics will go on stage and they'll do 10 minutes and one minute does well and 9 minutes bomb. And some people will say, fuck, that sucked. And some people will say, that one thing was good. So it's like that. It's like, you know what? We just want to count our W's. We don't want to count our L's. Only the W's count. So we gave you rights.
Count the L's. Fix the L's and get more W's.
L's happen a long
time. So I call him Julio Cesar Chavez because he counted every fight. He counted bar fights.
Right.
He counted the time he beat his kids up and shit.
You got to count.
I'm 99-0. That's how many fights are those.
But us giving you rights is a W.
The same guy. Yeah.
It's not a W because of
you know
the
that's a part of the problem I have with like with this society where it is now. Because the only people in society who are told we can't say a word about them is black people because they'll be offended. You don't say that about Jewish people, Hispanic people. You don't say that about Asian people. We don't go, oh, don't say, don't call them this, that, or third.
Right.
But don't call this black person this, that, or third because
well, you have to remember.
Bothers me.
Well, yeah, no, you have to remember though. As we go, the other groups go. Understand?
Yeah.
We're the top minority. We're the top, top minority.
Dog. Yeah.
We're the top minority.
Yeah,
so as we go, the other groups go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're talking shit to us,
then you're talking about everybody.
You're talking about everybody else. Right. And every other group wants to be like the white group, so they talk shit
about,
to us.
Yeah.
Because we're the top minority. So they're trying to knock us off to take our spot.
Take our and it ain't like Patrice, it ain't no. Yeah. They ain't gonna get it, nigga.
But
they go get it. What happens when
the guy that we know that I was talking about? This is a guy who in a drunken stupor broke into somebody's house and laid down and went to sleep on a couch.
See, he's already an idiot.
And
sorry,
the people were home
a long time ago.
Broke into somebody's house, you didn't know. Even as a black, this is
how do you even do that?
This is being that drunk.
It happens somewhat frequently.
Wait, they were that drunk.
Just because he's
broke into a house and went
into somebody's house and laid down.
So if that's you or I.
Thinking that's, and that's the thing. Nobody black gets that drunk that they go into a house that's not theirs.
I think
because they know they could.
I think there was a story. I think there was a story a year or two later of a black guy getting killed. Having done that.
Doing the same thing? Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
What, but it was the nigga trying to get his own house.
But he doesn't recognize.
You had a dude who was knocking on doors in South Carolina because he was literally trying, hey, man, my phone not working. My tire is blown out. Wait, get the fuck out of here.
Sober. Yeah. So he doesn't recognize that level of of privilege.
That's
privilege. No, you can go lay on somebody's couch.
For him, that's right.
Break into somebody's house, lay on their couch, and not have to concern yourself with getting killed. You know how I know you didn't concern yourself with getting killed? Because you did it. I've been very drunk before. Very drunk. I've never even. Some part of me is always like, if you do this, you're going to die.
I pissed on a friend's stoop once, and I almost got my ass. He said, nigga, my house.
This, you're going to die.
Some of these people are somewhat down for the cause too, but this one little piece of this thing about the riot, they disagree with her, and so it's almost like when people are saying like, you care more about property than someone's death, or whatever. People will seize on something to make that their number one issue or a big issue for them.
Yeah.
Or for someone else, it might be like that's not what we're talking about here.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like that too. It's like you might be in agreement 85% with someone. And they're like, well, what about this other thing that's the biggest part of it? And you're like, that's not even close to the biggest part.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that, too. It's like people that you know that you even agree with on a lot of shit. And you're like, well, why is that so important to you?
Right. And if people talk shit about the reaction, I'm always like, well, what caused the reaction? And it's like, well, you're really talking about how someone reacts and you're saying, well, you shouldn't react that way. Well, maybe that person's button was pushed because nobody just goes ape shit. Nobody. Yeah. And you're talking about a community going at some point.
I have said that a lot.
Like it goes ape shit. So what caused that? It's always a tipping point, and nobody wants to get to the tipping point. And that's the tipping point that no one wants to even look at the tipping point and go, hey, how did we get here? There are no more Donahues. There are no more people who's like, let's put all these people in the room and just say, what is your grievance? And let's get to the core of it.
Well, it's easier to say, to not look deeper and say, these idiots, stop rioting, let the system handle it.
What, the system that doesn't care about you.
Let it handle it.
Yeah, the system that says, well.
Well, here's the
system that literally has, I was born in the 70s and Negroes on my birth certificate.
Right.
This is the system that, and it changes for my son who is African American. Now, are we even the same people now?
Or the same race.
You know what I mean? And then that just boggles my mind. And it's just like, okay, so this system tells me who I am, so I'm supposed to listen to it when it does not define me. Like, slavery does not begin the black culture in America.
Right.
It does not begin people in America. But people don't even want to talk about that small aspect and how, wait a minute now, the other indentured servers was the Scotsman and the Irishman who was made to whip that Negro.
Yeah. Right.
And who was told, well, how do we get this to happen? Because that's another human being. Well, now we got to make them lesser than.
Yeah.
So nobody wants to look at all of that and go, well, my whole mindset might be fucked up.
Right.
We just go, you supposed to really entertain me, nigga. Because the only thing you did good during slavery was to invent jazz music and comedy. And that's what I like from you. And I love it when you play, take all that testosterone and put it on that football field as opposed to in the wife in the bed with my wife or my daughter or my neighborhood.
When people talk about indentured servitude, and they're like, well, you know, the Irish were indentured servants, or Indians, or the English were indentured servants. I'm like, okay, indentured servitude ended. It was a finite thing. It's like you worked for them for a while under shitty circumstances, and then it ended. Slavery didn't end. It's not the same. They always want to equate something to being the same. It's not the same.
I just wrote a story, but we all are familiar with Jim Tick, right?
And even though you're an indentured servant, you were still higher than a black slave.
Right.
You were the one who got to beat the black slave.
That's where hierarchy even started. Yeah. Okay, listen, we're gonna let you build your own house. We can put these people in the shack, and we're going to go, oh, man, you watch them, and we're going to watch you, and the rest of us are cool.
Yeah.
It's diet slavery.
Basically. You know, it's not really slavery. If anything, it's prison.
Slavery light. Slavery light.
Prison. I'm going to serve you 7, and I'm going to get out.
And that's what happens. You know, Denzel touched on in that movie, The Great Debaters, where he was.
Do this nickel. You know my reputation.
Yeah, I'm going to do this. You ain't never lied.
Do a nickel standing on my head.
That's what cracks me up. White people don't even remember what they did to white people. Like, the British put a whole colony of white people in Australia. It was like, all of you motherfuckers get a continent away.
Yeah.
So this is how cruel.
And they were still better than black people.
Yeah, no bullshit.
They were still seen as still better than them motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah. That's the truth. That's the guy's honest. You
know. At least I'm not them.
Mm.
Exactly.
And that's what you create, us and them society. You know? And it's like, who are them? Well, as long as they ain't us, it don't matter. You
know? Right.
So and then these fucking fools, they break this boy's neck,
yeah.
Say they didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like Marshall was saying, Marshall Warfield, you know, you get to just say, I didn't break his neck. And, yeah, his neck is broken, but, you know, that's just how it goes.
That's right. We took him for a ride.
Well, there was a guy last year who had cuffs on, had been searched.
Shot himself in the back.
Well, but then the autopsy comes back, too, because they're like, oh, he must have had a gun on him. He pulled a gun out and shot himself. Right. Just had a kid. Like, he wasn't suicidal.
Right.
And then they finally got, like, the coroner's report, and they were like, the shot was in the chest.
Yeah.
We're doing an inquiry, and they still haven't
finished
completed that. Right. Yeah. So, but like the you know, if the story you told about last week's beating and the week before that, passed muster, then at some point you're going to test those limits. Like, well, what can I say? Like, how do I get out of this one?
Right. Right.
And so all the other ones worked.
Right.
I said
right.
He ran, or he had a gun, and he reached for his waistband, or all the other shit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's been working.
He was in that.
Well, Chicago just paid $22 million for that shit.
Banging his head against shit. Is there a pool of blood in the wagon?
Yeah.
No, there's no pool of blood in the wagon.
And they brought the dude, the other prisoner.
I
didn't say that shit.
I didn't say that shit.
The fuck?
Yeah.
Like, he said he was banging his head. Why the fuck would he do that?
He said, "Man, listen, I ain't hear no Freddie Gray." We was together, and then we wasn't.
Yeah,
and it's like, whoa.
And also, that was the other guy they picked up. He was the third stop.
Yeah.
So he didn't even see all the shit before that, or hear all the shit before that.
Yeah.
He didn't know. He heard some banging around because the guy was unrestrained.
And you have a person who was shot.
When that happened, everybody sees on that. Well, see, he did it to himself.
Right.
My first impulse, and again, people that we know, I'm like, why would I believe the Baltimore Police Department?
Right.
Why would I believe that?
Right. Right.
Now
Why do you believe?
Why is it so easy for you to believe the Baltimore Police Department over the black guy?
There's also the Freddie Gray had drugs in his system.
Yeah.
Oh, the drug that breaks your spine?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, is that a drug? That drug?
Well,
side effect?
Well, why did
that
he run? And he had a record. And
then we don't know that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't even know if it's true that he ran at this point.
We don't know nothing.
We don't know nothing.
We just know what we've heard.
And we're like, well, he had a switchblade. And I said, no, he didn't.
Right.
He had a lock blade.
Lock blade, exactly.
People in Texas, everybody in Texas carry lock blades. I don't even know if it's a lock blade.
They said folding knife.
Yeah, I carry one because of work purposes.
Yeah, because if you work, you carry a lock blade. I carried a lock blade.
Also, the blade was on the inside of his, clipped to the inside of his pocket. So you can't see it until you search his pockets.
Right.
So they didn't stop him for that reason. They didn't chase him for that reason.
They said, hey, Freddie, didn't we tell you?
And even if they did, it's not illegal.
Right.
You know, so shut your fucking mouth.
Nobody wants to do that. They want to go, why? And the fear that we were talking about earlier goes back to, well, what if they stop damaging property? That's what it goes back to. Where is this anger going to get pointed? Is it going to get pointed at me? Is it going to get pointed at me? Is it going to come to my neighborhood? For a guy who's a friend of ours on Facebook was like, well, I thought it was coming to my neighborhood. Well, why?
Right.
Yeah.
Why are you afraid? Why do you have that ingrained fear that some people might come to your neighborhood? Why do you think? It's sort of like
that
friends
same
of mine.
Guy, that same guy was the first guy who was talking about me posting stuff.
I figured that.
He's the same guy. Apparently, I turned around.
I figured that. Because I noticed that in his
he's
post.
He's a decent dude. Yeah. I said, that's the only reason I contacted you privately. Yeah. Often is because I think you're a decent person.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if I didn't give a fuck, I'd be like, man, fuck you. And you would get the unfriend, Block. And that would be that.
And that's what kills me about, and it's always good and bad and everything. People go, well, I didn't know such and such a thought like that. Well, have you ever talked to them? Have you ever talked to him?
No.
Have you ever had a conversation with him and been like, I'm like, shit, that must.
You know he hates you.
Right. I was like, well, have a conversation with Andy. Have you ever talked to these people? And then that is how you break down the walls of the ism that is the schism that's racism. Aside from that, it's just like all you're going to see is, well, I think Haywood, because of his look, is this, that, and the third. And they're like, well, okay. Now, that tells me more about you than it does
about me. Yeah.
So I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm personally, like we've said before, no new friends.
Yeah.
You know, no new friends. That means it's more drinks for us at the Mayweather fight.
I guess I ain't got no more new friends. That's fine with me. That's fine with
me. And I don't want to be a friend if you make those quick snap judgments. Because every situation, this is why I didn't comment on Baltimore on my first personal feed until I gave it the 5-day window and go like, well, let's see what happens. Yeah. As soon as I start seeing indictments, okay, something serious went down because they didn't even wait.
Right.
Well, that's this. They literally did not wait. What's her name? Marilyn.
She's got Mosby.
Mosby. Yeah. She got three names. She's fine. Well,
yeah, and some of that too might be politically motivated. And she ran on the clean up the cops.
She did.
Yeah, she did. That's her.
If you did, then you should come. And she should come on with it. And she came on with it.
And she said there's no place, no tolerance.
She came out on that press conference. Like,
yes,
no, that's the mayor who
oh,
I was.
The, oh, the DA.
When the mayor came out, I was like, shouldn't you be on tour with En Vogue or something?
I was like,
that's the first thing I thought when I looked.
All they got their head did.
I just urge all the people of Baltimore to hold on to their love.
They all got their head
did. Well, made me mad about her when she came out with the statement and she said, you know, we give the people space to riot. We gave the protesters space to protest.
Right.
That's their constitutional right. Along with that comes that people who are knucklehead rioters are also going to have space to riot.
Mm-hmm.
She's not saying that she wanted them to riot.
Right.
She's saying that when you give a space to a large group of people, you don't know who you a protester, you a rioter.
Right.
I'm a rioter. Go over there. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Go fuck up the vacants.
You don't know who's
going to get.
You don't know who's doing what. So when you get, you have to walk a balancing line. That's what she was saying. And everybody in the press was like, she said she wants rioters to riot. And then the next day she was like, I didn't say that shit. That's not what I said. I'm like, and that's what bothers me about people. I'm like, you're a smart person.
Right. Right.
How did you come to that conclusion?
Right.
Explain to me the thought process that led you to thinking
right.
that she said that.
Right.
I want to understand.
You receive information
right.
that has already been spun by someone else. You receive one tweet out of 30, and you don't look into. You receive a half a sentence as a quote from a whole press conference, and you run with that. So that's the other thing. It's like,
how many times you got to be burned before you say, "All right, let me
go look it up.
Let me look at everything."
Yeah, this doesn't seem right.
Before I say, I know that a mayor of a city didn't say that
right,
she allowed space for
right.
people to riot. I know that I didn't hear that.
Right. Well, we see that all the time in the stories that we're looking for the podcast. You see the headline, you're like, oh shit, and you read it, and you're like, this doesn't seem right.
I'm
the
like,
headline
this
doesn't make sense.
This right. doesn't sound right.
It's the age of hyperbole.
Reason.
People are trying to get eyes on what they're doing, so they're going to spin shit and turn it into, they're going to parse words and turn it into something it wasn't. And people have to come out and clarify and basically apologize for not even saying what they claim they said,
mm-hmm.
you know? We're hour 37, by the way.
Yeah, are we?
Mm. Yeah.
I guess we got to. I guess we should bring
Heat
this one
it.
On. We're going to do another one.
Yeah, we're going to do a quick one.
Heated
yeah, we'll do another quick one. Listen, people, come on back on. We have to end in an awkward spot. I know. But you guys all know where we're at, how we feel. At this point, we're just rehashing everything. So, listen.
That baseball
okay.
game was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yo, how long has it been since they played an empty baseball game? That was kind of wild, man.
Yeah.
I like baseball, but it's so wild to see a huge stadium like that empty.
That one dude threw a ball into the stand. After the third out. And then one of the dudes for, I forget what team they were playing, White Sox maybe? One of the dudes.
Got bowed.
One of those tweeted, today's going to be a tough game. We're going to try to take the crowd out of it.
That's funny.
Which was funny. He got a bunch of retweets. And then people were like hating on him about it. Like, this is serious. And he was like, guys, I was just trying to have some levity to the situation.
Somebody hit a home run. That's a lonely one.
Yeah. That was funny. Just a quiet home
run.
It
reminded me of the old games they used to play. Like they show you on the one they used to show. What's the baseball movie they have on HBO?
What, Field of Dreams?
No, the one with Blair Underwood where they play Jackie Robinson.
Oh, yeah. That's the one about the Negro League.
And they play the white players, but they play in an empty stadium.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's the only way they're going to play this fucking game.
The All-Stars.
Yeah, they was like, okay, we'll play you, but in an empty stadium and shit.
Just in case we lose to you.
Talk about your history.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
Yeah, that's how
Soul
you win.
Soul of the game.
Soul of the game, yeah. Yeah. That's America. The black folks had to have their own baseball players, their own fucking team. And then Fiorella LaGuardia owned part of
and
it.
Then
it
was
I'm going to get you in the majors,
we
guys.
We gave you access to the majors.
Yes, you did.
So thank you.
Thank you, D. White.
Thank you.
That's a W.
Thank you. And thank you for teaching us basketball. And that shit was awesome, too. They said. Yeah.
So come on back. We might run this video, this Baltimore. Just call the rioters niggas if you're going to call them thugs. That was hilarious.
That was hilarious. And that was a man in a suit. It was a tailored suit. Who was like, just say what you want to say.
This Texas GOP lawmaker says what's going on in Baltimore is going too many gay marriages. That's
of course.
Funny. The prom dress. This has happened before. We'll definitely talk about that. The prom dress.
I like the video of the on the news with the twins.
The two twins. It's hilarious.
Fucking funny.
Eric Sermon. We can talk about rappers.
Oh, what'd he say? Yeah.
He's all over the place.
Minnesota kids are too fat, out of breath to fight in the military. Stop feeding them cheese. And then maybe we'll let Auntie tell us why it's so hard to talk to white people about racism since he's here. So come on back on Thursday, people. Listen, be sure to send us your emails. Remember, if you have a workout program that you already have going and you're wondering if it's going to give you the results or if you just let me take a look at it. I get paid money for it. Email it to me. Email it through our email address. All I ask is that you buy a copy of Blue Magic.
ThreeGuysOnAtGmail.com.
And just buy a copy of Blue Magic and send the shit out to give the shit out to people. It's a brand name. I stand behind it. Guarantee it. They know that. Even if they don't know me any more than they know the president of General Mills. So come on back. Hey, would you got anything coming up?
Yes. Today is Monday. Come over to Sally's Tuesday, 1942 11th Street, right off the corner of U and 11th. We are there every first and third Tuesday. Cinco de Mayo, so we're going to be partying. Having a good time, telling some jokes, and entertaining some folks.
I think I may try to come, depending. I think my wife comes back.
Come on, man. It's a good show. Actually, we got some Beat More comics coming down.
Is that the hip-hop artist coming back?
No, not this one. Right now, we got Bill Monahan on the docket.
I might come through.
Savoy. So it's kind of interesting.
My wife might be coming back.
Just
my wife's coming back from Dallas. I ain't coming. But if she's home, I'm coming.
Cool.
I'm saying like that.
Come on.
This Friday, May 8th, I'll be at the Happy Buddha show with Jeff Hughes. Is it Laughing Buddha or Happy
Buddha?
Laughing Buddha.
With Jeff Hughes. Look at my website for details. May 9th, I'll be in Easton, Maryland at the Avalon Theater with David Twitty. Come out to that show.
That's good.
And sure. Sunday, I'll be at the Arlington Cinema Draft House for the Stand Up for Pits benefit show with Rebecca Corey benefiting pit bulls. And she'll have probably heard Pitbull there.
I have a Pitbull. I should bring it out. Can I bring it?
I don't know if you can bring it.
Oh.
You may bring pictures of it.
I like it.
Hey, maybe you'll host it. You want to host it?
Sure.
There might be an opening. Okay. I'll talk to you.
Okay.
Okay. So, anyway, that's all I got coming up this week. And then there's some stuff later, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. And May 8th, I am at the cellar door. Hold on.
We're in Baltimore live.
We're not that far from Baltimore.
I'm at the cellar door in Frederick, May 8th, the evening of May 8th. I will be there. That's a Sunday, I believe.
No, May 8th is Friday. Sunday's the 10th.
Oh, shit.
Is it June?
No, it's May.
Cellar door is a good time.
I'll update y'all on the next 17th? On the next one. I don't want to go through all this looking. Let me see.
All right, we'll figure it out. We could always.
He might have had the date wrong.
May 8th is definitely Friday.
Yeah, because May 9th is Saturday. Right?
Yeah.
And 10th is Mother's Day.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Sometime in May, Randolph will be at Cellar Door in Frederick, Maryland.
Yes, I will be.
It's a Sunday night show. Starts at 7. Usually starts a little bit after 7 if you're running late.
Tell them about May 10th or May 17th because it's not this Sunday, right?
May 10th.
Okay.
7 p.m. showtime, May 10th. I'm scheduled to be there.
It's a good room.
Mother's Day.
Cellar Door. So come on through May 10th, Mother's Day.
All right,
people, come on back for this. We'll be here for you guys. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. As always, we enjoy bringing it to you. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
I'm here with Turner C. Jr. Avengers.
We're guys on.
Assemble.
We are out.
Some people are cute, some people are prime, some people get away with losing my rhyme. They don't like where I'm coming from, so they play dumb. Dumb diggity dumb, diggity dumb. Well, I'm telling you what they do. Everybody plays a fool while a real thief cools in a pool. Yeah. He'll got the finger on the war button. Talking loud, ain't saying nothing. TV got him bigger than life. All we need is a knife. Who the criminal? Blind, deaf, and dumb. Hard to see them coming, but they come. Here they come. Don't be dumb, thickety dumb. Politicking right back checks. Still they getting wrecked. Going for a nip-neck. Rolling in a blue and white gang.